Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
We're up.
Boys, what's happening?
What a beautiful moment to get you guys together in a room. This is awesome.
This is badass.
This is fucking awesome. I've known all you guys for fucking ever. I think I've known you the longest. I've known you for at least 20 years.
2001, I believe.
Wow.
2001.
I remember you were sleeping in your dojo.
Yes.
You were he had a bucket of like a thing you would piss in.
Yes.
Because he drank so much water, so he had his jug next to his bed. He's like, I'm tired. I don't want to get up and go to the bathroom. I got to piss. I just piss right there and go back to sleep.
I lived in my first storefront academy in East Meadow, my hometown, and Joe and Eddie Bravo were in town for some reason. I think you were doing a gig or something.
Yeah, I was doing a gig, and you came and picked us up.
Yeah.
We took the train, and he picked us up at the train station, took us to his academy. It was awesome.
Yeah, the Hicksville train station, and it was literally, not to make everybody feel old, it was 21 years ago.
Yeah.
I was 28. You know why I remember? Because I was going to fight BJ Penn at Mohegan Sun.
Wow.
So I'm like, are you going? You're like, oh, I got this gig. And you came, you trained at my place, and I showed you the basement. I'll never forget what you said to me down there. And I think I said it the last time I was here. I go, yo, man, this is where I sleep. This is where I stay. And you looked at it, you go, dude, you live like a fucking Spartan.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, you were living that life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I think that's what you have to do to be elite at MMA when you're starting out, especially back then. You had to be all in.
All in.
And you're a coach of high-level people. You could speak to this.
Yeah, but I mean, I've also lived that life too.
You know,
back in 2001. I mean, I fought BJ in 2001.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know what it's like to live in the car. I still do it sometimes now. So like,
you sleep in your car?
Sometimes.
Just for old times.
I'll be on the road so much, man, and like sometimes I don't even know where I'm going.
Wow.
I'll be on the road so much, I'm like, God
damn. Dean Thomas got a lot of jobs these
Yeah.
Well, no one, you know what it was? Is I remember talking to you and you said, man, I work a lot because I know what it's like to be poor.
Yeah.
So like, that's why I work.
Yeah, I stay ahead.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to think about money. I don't think about money, but the way to not think about money is to make enough so you don't have to think about it.
Exactly.
And I met you around the same time because I met you and Eddie as well through jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
You guys were on the underground back in the
day.
And
we were trying to find a place to watch the fights.
In Baltimore.
Yeah, I had a gig.
Yep.
Like, so Eddie went to your place to, was it Pride?
Yeah, we went. Well,
was it Pride or was it the UFC?
It was UFC. He actually fought, because I remember you saying, because we both thought he beat BJ, even though you didn't get the decision. And you were at the Improv, I believe, in Baltimore at the time.
Oh, wow.
And then we hit like ESPN Zone for dinner, and I was friends with you guys ever since.
Yeah, Rollo and I have had some fun on the road, man. We've been to a lot of gigs together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like those friendships that you make in the early days, they're kind of special. Because like we were there, you know, when the UFC in 2001 was a different thing, man.
Completely.
Different animal. It was so fringe.
Yeah.
And you always felt like, I always felt like it was going to be over any second.
Yeah.
I remember being like, all right, look, I'll take this next fight at this price because this is going to be fucking down. This is going to be coming to an end soon. And I'll tell my kids that one time I fought in a cage. It's just to be this sport where we fought in a cage. It looked like the end was coming at any moment.
Yeah.
It really did. Before that, the fight with Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner.
You know what's really crazy? Yeah. Eddie Bravo and I used to have this conversation. We would be like, because I met Eddie in like 1998. I met him at I met him at John Jocks, but I saw him at John Jocks. He was there with Ricky Rocket. Like, Ricky Rocket from Poison is a legit black belt under John Jock Machado.
Yeah.
No kidding. Ricky Rocket is he's real. He trained.
No, legit.
Yeah. Undercover. You know what I mean? Just a regular dude, goes into classes.
Yeah.
Legit. Like, real guy. So anyway, Eddie was there with him as a spectator. And like, this is like 1998, and we would say, you know what this sport needs? Some crazy billionaires to just invest all this money in it, because we know how exciting it is, but the world didn't know. This is 98. This is like Dan Henderson's first fight, Carlos Newton, back in those days. Remember Carlos Newton? Yeah. A lot of people forgot how good that fucking dude was.
I still talk to him. Like, because he's on the commission, the committee that the ABC commission has for fighters. And I'm on that commission with Carlos Newton.
Nice.
Dude, what happened to him?
He's like working like real estate or construction or something.
He's doing okay.
He's alive.
I like when I see guys make it through. Okay, because I mean, now I talk about this with Dean a lot. When we're on the road with Dana doing the show, I go, I got survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's a lot of guys now that the sport's like 30 years old. Yeah. Like, there's like casualties in the game now, whether it's their health, whether they get done with the sport. And I mean, Phil Baroni's in a Mexican prison right now. War Machine. I mean, he's
right.
There's some people making very bad choices, but I don't know, man. It's upsetting to me when I see people all fucked up and we're sitting there hanging out having a good
time. It's hard when people forget, too, about the early days were not that popular, so they forget about some spectacular performances. Mm. They forget about some amazing... When Carlos Newton tapped out Pat Miletich with a bulldog choke.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that was the first time? I'd never seen anybody do that.
No, that was... Yeah, that was something else.
I fought on that card.
You remember that
back-fisted
fucking...
Back-fisted by Shoney.
There's
card,
a photo of him, and he is jacked.
And Pat's face is like... And
see if you can find the photo of Carlos Newton. Look at this photo. Look. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
And
there's like another one too of it, like more from the back, but either way, like what a perfect picture. I mean, that is so nasty.
He was a fluent fighter. He was very.
Look at like the first one, his right? Arm. Look at his fucking arm. Jesus Christ. He was one of the very best grapplers in the early days of the UFC. He pulled off some wild shit.
Yeah.
Phenomenal jiu-jitsu. Remember he got Matt Hughes in that triangle?
Yeah,
and Matt
sick.
Slammed him and KO'd him?
Yeah,
they both went to sleep.
And then Matt just woke
Matt
up first.
Woke up first.
He's like, I won?
That was hysterical.
He was surprised.
Amazing.
It's funny looking at all these pitches and everything, you know, pre-USADA.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Let's talk, Matt Sarah. Let's talk.
And by the way, this is me at 49 on TOT. Okay, so I'm not competing now on anything. I never competed, did anything ever. So I remember, like, I liked some guys back then, but fuck, man, like Randy Couture, the natural. Really? The natural? Can we get a different nickname? But I like Randy. I like the Expendables and shit. But, of all the nicknames. Is that, can I have a little more of that?
Yeah, you want some coffee?
Oh, I'm an espresso freak.
You want espresso?
I'll have coffee.
Whatever. But, we'll get you some espresso.
It is weird.
Can we get four espressos?
No, you guys are awesome. It's different when you look at the Pride guys, because they were almost encouraging that shit.
They were encouraging. It's straight up. One of Eddie's guys went over there. They literally told him to gain weight.
Yeah, you're
going to get you on steroids.
They wanted that whole freak show and watching the biggest guys kill each other.
Right? Yeah, I wonder.
Like, I know I fought BJ. I know I believe him when he says he was natural. But I wonder how many dudes I fought that were actually on something.
I think BJ was 100% natural.
I believe him. I believe him 100%.
And also, there's no change in his physique ever. It was with BJ was all about whether or not BJ was fully dedicated. Fully dedicated BJ was a terrifying force.
To me, I still believe he's the greatest lightweight of all time.
I think you can make a real good argument that the prime BJ, when he beat Diego Sanchez, I would put that up against anybody ever.
Yeah, Diego Sanchez, Shirk, those guys.
I'm not saying Khabib couldn't beat him, because Khabib was a motherfucker. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we really can appreciate how much of a motherfucker he is until after he's long gone. You go by him, like that Edson Barboza fight.
Right.
He put that 1,000-yard stare in Edson Barboza early in that fight.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, my God. Like, this motherfucker. Like, I don't know if he might be able to do that to everybody. I don't know.
It seemed that way, but BJ was on a different level.
He was on
Prime BJ was on a different level.
And he had legs. There's this 1,000-yard stare. Yeah. BJ had legs that were like arms.
Yeah.
His dexterity.
Yeah. I heard he could put his legs behind his head without using his hands.
Yeah. And he stretches them. It's not like it's just totally natural.
Right.
He was telling me all these crazy things he does with bands. You know, like where he stretches himself with bands. He does hardcore stretching shit.
Isn't it wild that even the most flexible motherfuckers, if you get them in the crucifix, it doesn't matter if they can suck their own dick, they're still getting fucked up? Like, when you ever see BJ Penn? like jumping out of pools and shit. And like Matt Hughes gets him here in the crucifix.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can put your legs behind your head. He should have used his legs to fucking block the fucking. You know, do some Wing Chun with your legs. He was. The crucifix fucks you up. I get gi or no gi. I go for that all the time. Mm. Training. And yeah, I know I can't. Yeah. And I know I can't hit them, but there's a lot of ways you could transfer, transition into Kimuras, arm locks, different things. But it's such a good thing to get used to because they can't do dick. DC might not. I don't know how great his jiu-jitsu is, but I mean, look, he gets guys in the crucifix. They're fucking done.
Yeah. The crucifix is it. There was one guy at John Jocks who specialized in the crucifix, and I was always terrified of this dude because it's such a terrible place to be.
Yeah, it is. You can't use your arms, and you're like, ah.
It's such a horrible
And you get punched in the face, and you're like trying to block with that one little hand.
With MMA, it's so much worse.
Yeah.
It's the elbows from that position.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Punches?
When I was getting ready to fight Matt Hughes, I was having people start me from there. And that's why the only fight I ever in my career I had to pull out of was our first time I was supposed to meet Matt Hughes. And that literally broke my heart because I was talking such shit. And I would never talk shit. But I only talk shit knowing that I'm going to meet this guy in a cage. You know what I mean? Because they say, you know what I mean? So I was calling the guy, every other day I'm calling the guy a dick. But I know we're meeting. Then I had to pull out of the fight. And part of the reason why I had to pull out of the fight is because I was getting older at the time and I was still training like a younger guy. So I was starting in the crucifix with my buddy Craig, who was like a fucking big, strong motherfucker. And then I'd get out. After 5 minutes, I would do duck under suplex, duck under. Then I cooled off. Remember Matt Arroyo? Matt Arroyo?
Yeah.
He was visiting. So he asked me to show a move. I cooled down. And dude, I fucking blew my back out just showing something. I went to show something. I guess I was so fucking, from doing my shit. Yeah, because I was training so physical, not as smart. So I had to pull out of the fight. But the point was,
what happened to your back?
L4 and L5, I had a herniated discs.
Oh, Jesus.
So I tried to stay in the, I tried to not pull out of the fight. So fucking, I went to a chiropractor and I will never go to a motherfucking chiropractor again. He took out this Tonka toy thing and he goes, you see, your spine is, you gotta, and I go, dude, I don't know what you're doing. I go, but just, could you do something for me? He goes, everybody thinks they have a herniated disc. Because meanwhile, I'm sitting the way I was sitting. I was like, not straight. I go, dude, something's not right here. He goes, everybody thinks it's a herniation, but it's a lot of times it's yada yada. He put me on a thing. He put me upside down on one of those.
Yeah, inversion tables.
Yes. He was with someone else, and then I'm with my wife, and then he goes, okay, like almost like I'm a fucking turkey. Hey, I flip him over. You can turn him back over. When he turned, I guess everything was coming back down on my stuff when he turned me back over. God. I was fucking, I'm fucking screaming like something's sticking in me. And then he charged me $50.
Do you know how, when they call themselves doctors, do you know how much time they spend in medical school?
Yeah, zero.
How many?
Zero.
How
much?
Zero time in medical school.
It's fucking.
Do you know how it was invented?
How?
Thank you, by the way.
Pull up the article, chiropractors are bullshit.
Joe, I have chiropractors at home that know I know you, and they're like, hey man, why is he beating up on a chiropractor?
It's the origin of it. Look, whether or not, I'm not disputing that people get relief from being manipulated, because I think there's something to the deep tissue aspect of it. There's probably something even to being out of alignment in certain conditions, and a lot of that could be because of little injuries, and things are tight, and that's why deep tissue massage and Rolfing is very effective. But the origins of the medical art, it came from a guy who is a magnetic healer who came up with this idea. He's going to cure all illnesses by manipulating your spine. And the speculation is he was murdered by his son, who was a con man, and his son then fucking takes it everywhere. And I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Dude, pull up the article. Pull up that article again. Because it's like, when you read it, you're like, what? Is this real? So, I always thought it was a doctor.
But it's not. It's some not a dude doctor. That was like, did his son.
It's this a thing that, like, you may find relief from. You may find relief from being manipulated. And I think there's guys out there that are really good at, like, they use other stuff with different techniques with it. They're basically doing physical therapy. But the knowledge and philosophy given given me by Dr. Okay, here it is. Palmer held seances to contact a dead physician named Jin Atkinson. He said that those seances helped him develop chiropractic, as he wrote in his 1914 book, The Chiropractor, the knowledge and philosophy given me by Dr. Jim Atkinson, an intelligent spiritual being, together with explanations of phenomena, principles resolved from causes, effects, powers, laws, and utility appealed to my reason. The method by which I obtained an explanation of certain physical phenomena from an intelligence in the spiritual world is known in biblical language as inspiration. In a great measure, the chiropractor's adjuster was written under such spiritual promptings. So this guy came up with this from a seance.
He learned it from a ghost.
And then the idea behind it, though, is that you could fix all these different problems that people have by adjusting them. Like all kinds of wild shit. And that they thought they could do. See what it said that they thought they could do with it? Because it's kind of nutty when you read like the stuff that he was saying he could fix.
Man, I just think it feels good. Like when you crack your knuckles, it feels good.
Yeah, like you crack anything, it feels good.
I think also getting pushed on and rubbed and adjusted, it's good for you. It feels good. It's like when I get deep tissue massage, these motherfuckers, they dig in there with their elbows and they're kind of cracking shit and moving.
Right.
There's a lot of tension and you can alleviate that. I'm not saying that being adjusted or any of these things these people do doesn't offer people help. I'm sure it does. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, where did that come from, and why are you calling it that?
Yeah, it's
so if you want to call it like physical maintenance, you know that's you're right. Literally attaching something that actually works to something that's really crazy.
Yeah,
like the origins of this are bonkers.
For real. Why don't masseuses call themselves doctors? It's a similar.
It's a similar thing. If you have like a really good deep tissue massager, because it's like a disrespectful thing to a medical professional,
right? And it makes you question the credibility of everything that they're doing.
Exactly, but they do help people. That's the thing. It's like, but you got to admit what it actually is, and maybe you should probably take a look at the origins of it.
Yeah,
well, see if you want to be attached to that.
Shit, man, they didn't do dick for me, but I went to
they didn't do a dick for me either. That's how I found out about all this.
Yeah man
I had a bulging disc in my fucking neck, and I went to a guy for a year who was like telling me, no, it's just, you know, this, and it's a muscle injury and this. He's like, he pushed down on my head and he was saying, does it hurt when I do that? I go, no. He's like, then you don't have a bulging disc. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, how do
so
you know?
I finally went to a real doctor, and he gave me an MRI. It's like, yeah, you got a bulging disc.
You didn't touch your head?
And then they didn't even touch my head. And then they did Regenekine on it. That's that shit that Dana went to Germany to go get. Peyton Manning went.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant went over there. And it's your own blood. It's like a PRP thing, but they add a bunch of stuff to it, and that fixed it in 2 weeks.
Yo, what about that fucking Final Destination Dana? What the fuck did he do when he got that fucking test? When he's like, oh, I'm going to die in 10 years.
What is that? He went keto.
What is that?
I know.
What test was that that he took when he goes?
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
he told
first
me about
of
this
all,
guy.
Who the fuck is
the
that
10X
guy?
Guy?
Somebody said that he's going to fucking, what did they say? That he's going to probably die in 10 years?
Something like that. He said if he kept going the way he was going, he could probably die in 10 years. But I believe that because Dana was just like, he doesn't sleep. He's always going.
Yeah, yeah.
I could call Dana and have a two-hour conversation with him at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
He don't sleep.
He's an animal. He's just like always doing stuff. He's always involved. He's always got deals. He's always working on fights. He fucking loves this shit. That guy's nuts.
That's obvious.
It's in my contract that if he leaves, I leave.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't got to worry about nothing. Because he ain't going nowhere.
I don't want to do this for anybody else.
Yeah, he obviously loves it because he does not have to do it.
No, he loves it. I'm telling you right now. You call him at any given time and say, Jan Bohovic, Alex Pajeda. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I just call him up and we're going, oh my God, what the fuck is that going to be like? Bro, what is that going to be like, by the way? What is that going to be like?
Wait, say it again now?
Jan Blachowicz fighting Alex Pereira. Yeah.
Depends where it goes.
Well, this is the thing. Ooh, you know? I think that it's going to be a little... I think Jan's going to... I think Izzy's harder to get down than Alex.
Then
and I think Jan's going to get him down.
He's going to get him down.
And I don't think he's getting up.
I don't think so either.
Jan, did Izzy get up every time he got taken down?
Well, not in the later rounds.
No.
You know, Jan Blachowicz can grapple.
Yeah, he can grapple. That's the thing. I don't
think it's
going
to... If it's on the feet, I still think... you know, Fajito gets him, but on the ground, I don't see how he can get up.
Dude, but
look at that left hook.
Błachowicz is very high level on the feet. I mean, he's very high level. Like, and he's got this wild thing that he'll do. He'll go shin to shin with you.
Yeah.
He'll kick your fucking shins. Like, he's the only guy that I ever see that consistently does that.
And dude, look at that Luke Rockhold.
But yeah, Błachowicz, if he gets you down, man, and we saw how bad Alex looked on the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
Against Izzy, who looked just as almost as bad.
right.
Yeah. I mean, he did not look good.
Got that point.
But, you know, you could say that he never anticipated that from Izzy, and he anticipated a straight-up kickboxing match because that's most of Izzy's fights. He never tries to take
right,
people
for
down.
Sure.
But he could have said he made a mistake in that regard.
I mean, but there's just certain natural movements that you do if you are competent on the ground. Like your legs are, you know, your body's round and you're using your legs. Yeah. I mean, he was pretty like a, he was like a board.
Yeah.
Like he,
yeah, it was very low level. You know what? If a guy can get that good at stand-up, he's so fucking good. He's so sneaky.
Yeah.
He's the sneakiest calf kicker in the history of calf kicks.
Yeah.
His shit is so high level. And you don't realize it. It was even better in the second fight.
Yeah.
He's got this way of lifting that front leg and then no hip switch at all.
He just boom.
It's crazy.
Can I just say I'm glad I'm out of the game before they fucking put in these damn calf kicks? I don't want that shit. I'm glad I fucking... Bro. I never took one kick in my calf.
Now, I tell you what. My last fight in the UFC, I fought Josh Neer. And he inadvertently kicked me in the calf. I thought my leg was broke. I was just pulling guard at that point.
It's worse.
No one, I didn't know what a calf kick. Well, like I thought, you know, he was just trying to kick my leg. It just happened to hit the calf, and like, I was done. I was
Josh
like, right.
Neer is another bad motherfucker that people forgot.
They called the dentist.
Yeah. That dude was awesome.
Man, there's a lot of guys that people got to throw their name in the old UFC Fight Pass because, like, guys like Chris Lytle, they should get, like, I want them to be known, man.
Eve Edwards is in his prime.
Very good.
When he knocked out Josh Thompson, I was saying that Eve Edwards is the best 155-pounder alive, but there wasn't a UFC championship for that back then.
I was there when he knocked out Masvidal, too, because I had a guy on, it was Bodog, actually, in New Jersey. He head kicked Masvidal.
No, you got it backwards.
Wasn't Edwards?
You got it backwards. Masvidal head kicked him.
Did he?
Yes.
Masvidal
KO'd him. It was a huge victory for Masvidal.
About to make a real enemy there with that one.
You switched that one up. Switched that one up entirely.
Remember the time I backfisted Shoney? Remember that?
I do remember Shoney that. I was there for that one too.
Shoney
brother.
Carter was awesome. This is it right here.
He was boom.
Yep.
Got me right.
Beautiful.
And I've been thinking it's the other way for
him. Even back then, look at that. Even back then, that dude's hilarious.
Diaz on Anderson
page. I fought Eve Edwards right after 9/11. It was
September 28th, UFC 33.
That's when me and you beat
somebody. Yeah. I fought Fabiano
Ehiha. Where the fuck is that guy now?
I don't know.
How many arm bars did that guy have?
Oh, he had a lot. Arm bars. Yeah, he was just grabbing guys' arms and just throwing his legs around. Whoop.
I tell you, put it on him, though. Fucking Mr. Thomas.
Put them hands on him, boy. Put them hands on that cat.
I remember he had those corn rolls at the time.
They weren't even corn rolls. He had them cut them in. He just cut it. It was his haircut. He had lines cut. His hair like corn rolls.
Yeah. Beat the shit out of him, Dean Thomas. That was we were both coming off. We both had our initial fights in the UFC. We both had hype, and we both fucked that up.
I know.
You lost the BJ.
I remember that.
I lost the Shoney Carter. So now it's UFC 33 in Vegas. It's at the end of September.
Yeah.
Literally. It's right after 9/11. I'm without Ray Longo. His wife didn't let him get on a plane. It was a weird time. It was a ghost town. And it was fucking crazy. I fought Eve Edwards, who was a better striker than Shoney, and it was a crazy night.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
I was just having a conversation with the people about the Gracie documentary, and we were talking about right after September 11th when Tito fought Matyushenko.
Yeah, that's the same card.
That was
a wild night.
This was it. Yeah. The ramp.
I was in the audience.
Really?
Yeah, that was before I worked for the UFC again.
Oh, wait, you were there?
Yeah, I was at that event. Yeah, me and Eddie Bravo.
This we fought on this, Dean.
This was when they had their first big event in the UFC in Vegas.
In Vegas, that was the first one. Yeah,
and I wanted to be there for it. I was like, God, we gotta go.
Dennis
and
Hallman.
And I became friends with Dana through that, and that's how I started doing commentary.
Really?
Yeah, I became friends with him.
I didn't, because I thought I was the first fighter tonight that night.
Damn.
Against Fabiano Iha.
Wow. You know what's funny, man? And I don't think you're gonna, I don't know if you're gonna remember this, but it's fitting since I gave you a new t-shirt. How we first started getting the talk, it was after I beat Kelly Delante. It was on a prelim, right?
And
it
was, I remember that.
Yeah, I ended up getting a triangle on him. And it was on a prelim, but they showed it right before the main event. So it got a lot of views. And then they interviewed you, and you weren't doing the commentary yet, but you did say, you know, it was something along the lines of, you know, people think the ground is boring. You need more stuff, like, you know, he gave me a nice shout out, that jungle jiu-jitsu that Matt Serra did. And I was like, oh man, this is fucking fantastic. So there's a girl, this girl, Paula, I was friends with. She's like, yo, you should like send him a shirt for that or something. I go, how do I find him? You know, I'm half fucking special. I go, look, so fucking, where do I, fearfactor.com, where do I, Paula, thank you, Paula, she sent the t-shirt to Joe, and you ended up calling the Academy. And you, I swear, you called the Academy to thank me or some shit. And I got on the phone with you, and I was all excited.
That's the old days.
That was ages ago. People didn't text back then.
Yeah, that was the old days.
You called to say thanks for the shirt.
Bro,
man.
Nobody texted back then. In 2001, it didn't exist.
Yeah, there wasn't texting.
We called each other. Yeah, you called people.
Yeah, I remember that.
We're the last generation that knows what it's like to call people.
And most of the time, it was on a real phone.
A real phone. Connected to the wall.
Yeah, what's bad? Yeah, what's bad now is like, I never checked my email, and now I never check my voice messages at all. I'm a fucking hermit, you know that.
Yeah.
I just check my text messages.
Yeah.
So I never checked my voicemail, and that's it, man. I live in my own little world.
That's bad.
I know, that's why I was telling you, I didn't think he was going to come out here, because like no one interrupts Matt's piece. You just can't interrupt his piece.
I just go to my school, and I go home, and now since the pandemic had some blessings, because I used to have to go to the city to hang out with, and I do UFC Unfiltered with Jimmy. Jim's coming out. Jimmy's doing your show. Your mother's
show. Yeah. He's doing the club.
I love Jimmy. Jimmy.
I love him too.
Jimmy, my little Jimmy bird. Me and Jimmy became very close. I love
Jim. He's a great guy.
He's a beautiful human being.
Hilarious, dude.
Love Jim Norton. Yeah. I've been doing that show for a while with him. Now I got ADD. Why'd I bring that up?
Because you don't go to New York for it anymore.
Okay, the pandemic. Sorry, guys. Nothing changes. So I used to have to go to this city because I do UFC Unfiltered with Jimmy. And I always felt like I was winning because it's a decent paying gig. It's a fun time with Jimmy. I go in after rush hour. I come out before it. But then since the pandemic, man, now I just get a green screen in my fucking room. So now I could be at my school. I do the 7 a.m., come home, take a little nap, hang out with Jimmy and fucking on Zoom, do the podcast, go back, watch my kids strangle people. And I'm there. So I'm at the school twice as much. And I do my podcast still. The only time I really leave is the house otherwise is the fights, cornering people, and hanging out with Dean Thomas doing Looking for a Fight.
Don't you think that's something missing when you're doing a podcast with someone that they're not in the room with you?
Oh, man, don't rock the boat. Man. Hey, Joe, I'm having a good time. No, don't get me wrong. It's true. No, you're right. It's true. We have a good time. In there goes my 7 a.m. class.
That's awesome.
No. I love hanging out with Jimmy in the room. But we have a good time on the show, don't we?
Yeah, on Zoom. I come on every once in a while.
And I'm able to be, because sometimes when I go to the city, and by the time I get back, it's like, oh, do I feel like heading into the Academy now? But now, man, I'm well. And that was so much
better. But wait a minute. You're the guy with the real job.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You're running an academy. Oh, why don't you get Jim to come out to you? Set up
that's what
I'm talking about. Set up a little fucking studio in your town.
Jimmy does the Sirius Radio.
Jimmy.
Not Sirius Radio.
Fucking Uber and get out the
Long Island. Yeah, right?
What is this nonsense?
Right? We should do that.
Get on the train.
Thank you.
Listen, what's he doing all day? He's jacking off and fucking watching TV.
He does his Sirius XM shit. So it's near his house.
Oh, he does that every day?
He does that fucking like 5 days a week, the Jim and Sam show.
Oh, I didn't know it was every day. So it's just like Opie and Anthony.
It's like Opie and Anthony, but it's Jim and Sam. So he's got that gig going. I'm sure that place pays really good. So, you know, I don't know. I didn't mind taking the hit going to the city, but now I do since it's a fucking shithole in there now. I used to hang out in there, chill out, sip an espresso.
Has it changed?
I haven't been in there too much time. I haven't been in there since that much, but I know it's shitty from my friends that live there and from what I've seen. It's, you know, I used to be, how about this? I used to be able to go on with old school headphones kind of like this, you know, having my right, you know, I used to train in the morning. I used to get my head straight and I'd go there, just whistle. I'm not going. Now I'm going to be there like fucking Kurt Russell and that motherfucker. I'm not going to be in there like chilling, walking the fucking. You have to be on guard. It's fucking nasty, dude. The couple times I've been in there, it is what it is. But I think you get a sense of what it's like there now. It's not. You just got to have your guard up. Stop, and I did not feel. And I never lower my sword, but I didn't have to feel like I was so. On edge. You see shit all the time on the fucking subway.
Man, you just had that guy, you know, the guy got choked, you know, to death on the subway there.
Well,
I'm hearing all these different stories in that.
Yeah, well.
Did the guy get choked to death? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, this is what happened. And
the guy was threatening people on a train.
The guy, I don't know, the Marine, there was a Marine.
Right.
And he put him in a chokehold. I don't know how long he held it for. I don't know how well he's trained.
Yeah, never seen the
video.
So
this is the thing. Yeah. The people at home, when they put a chokehold on, when you're doing it correctly, it stops the carotid arteries. I know we all know this, guys. I'm just working. But it stops the blood flow. It doesn't stop the air. But if you stop the blood flow for 15 minutes, motherfucker's not coming back.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened, how long he kept it on and whatnot. But the guy who did have the chokehold on him had a fucking arrest warrant out for punching a fucking 60-something-year-old lady in the face.
Dude, he had like 40-something.
Oh, he had 40-something arrest. No, this wasn't your, you know, upstanding citizen.
Look, there were three other people involved that were holding him, you know, when this guy tried to restrain him, too.
Like,
so everybody felt threatened.
But this was what was weird. It's like they made it a race thing, too.
Yeah, come on.
The problem was to do that, they had to omit the fact that the other guy helping him was black.
Yep.
So there's a black guy that's helping him hold him down, and the guy's got his arm around this dude.
And most of the people on the subway came out in defense of this guy, said, you know, thank you and for helping to protect
him. You always got to make a narrative of you don't know what's the truth, unless you were there.
There's also a problem with people that are that fucked up. Like, that guy might have been high as shit on fentanyl.
Yeah.
He might have been ready to die anyway. You know, and if you get in a scramble with that dude, and then all of a sudden you got him in a headlock, you might have a fucking heart attack and die.
Well, and I kind of feel bad for the dude because I know if it was me, I'm choking a motherfucker out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%. It's your life. Fact that that guy might go to jail for that.
Is a joke.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of scary.
Nobody's
that's
saying
scary because I'm choking a motherfucker out because I'm trained to do that.
The only thing that I couldn't, only because I wasn't there, is how long did he hold it on?
That's the only question I have, too. None of us have seen a video.
If I seen a video of him putting to sleep and the guy just didn't wake up, it's like, all right, well, maybe the guy shouldn't be fucking attacking people, punching 60-something-year-old women in the face and whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's a case for that, but again, I can't go to the bat if I don't know how long he held that on for.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, you remember when that guy got choked to death for selling loose cigarettes?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
that?
Yeah.
What was that guy's
name? Big heavy guy.
Big heavy dude.
I forgot his name.
It was a terrible story. Eric Gardner. Terrible story. But there was all these people that were saying that's not a chokehold. And I was like, fuck you, that's not a chokehold. Like, let me do that to you.
Yeah.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, that cop had that dude's head, and he
basically
had that shit cinched down. He's getting choked.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the worst case of it.
Amen.
But this is, like, the best case of it. Like, stopping someone who's been assaulting people. The fact that the guy died fucking sucks, and we can't speak to it because I don't know. Is there a video of the actual choking?
If there's a video out there, and not that you want to see the guy die, but it's crucial to know
whether
did
he's
he do
guilty
the right
or
thing?
Not, exactly.
Right. How long did the guy hold on to the choke? Because if he did hold on to the choke for like a couple of minutes, that's you don't do that.
Yeah.
Does he know that though?
That's
the
there's another
thing.
Yeah.
He might,
he might not know
that.
Just because he's a Marine and he knows how to do that, fucking everybody knows. Oh, okay, there's a photo of him. Well, 100% he's choking him.
Yeah, there's the photo, but now
kind of shitty Logan Paul and Aljamain for sure.
Kind of shitty technique. But look at his his right arm. Look, he's goofy with his hand. Right? So it's not good technique. It's okay.
I saw the guy get interviewed. He claimed this guy was talking through it. He said he used it more to restrain him, but I guess that's what you would say.
That'll work, right? That's old school UFC palm on the head. It does work, but that's not like what a black belt does. That's not like a serious guy.
Hey, you know what kind of scared me recently, not to be a dick? And I love Michael Bisping, and who else did it? Marvin Vittori. But fuck, man. Guys, when you want to do the and I love Michael Bisping. I get along with him very well. They put a couple, they put Steve-O and someone else to sleep.
Hey, guys.
Do a, now look, you don't, can I say something right now? And I do you mind if I do this to Dean Thomas?
Wait a minute, I mind.
No, I'm actually exactly where you are. But just when you're doing the proper rear naked.
Get elbows in the
I want the elbow underneath the point of the chin. That way I know I'm on the carotid arteries. I'm not going to do it. But now, if I just slightly go to compress, what the fuck, man? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if it's on the windpipe I'm looking at this thing like, guys, you might crush his fucking throat. Like,
and look at the amount of pressure he's putting all of his weight behind him. Like, look what he's doing.
He's out.
And he's still holding it.
But his forearm was on his windpipe.
Yes.
And Mikey, I love Mikey. I love Mike. I do. But guys, come on, man, fuck.
That's also like he leaned into it.
I know
he got all of his weight behind it. That was
I would never do that.
That
to
guy
somebody.
Was out.
Yeah.
You want a V look on the neck? You want a fucking? That's not a V.
Yeah, I'm with
that's
him.
That's a fucking L.
Yeah,
that's a fucking, he's doing a number four on his neck. Dude, it should be a V on the neck. That didn't hurt you when I was doing
it.
And you'll be sleeping in under 10 seconds.
So if
like
you're going to choke out radio DJs, do it properly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Align your elbow with the chin.
There's a lot of those DJs get choked out.
I mean, God damn. I don't know. I was looking at it like, dude, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. What the fuck am I doing? Like, guys.
It's not safe.
I mean, yeah, you'll put him out, but fuck.
Right. You're going to hurt him. You're going to hurt him before
the
you put him out.
Hurt his fucking guy. He's not going to be eating soup for a fucking week, that guy. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway,
that just bothers me.
I hear you.
You know,
it's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah, because people get.
Why do people want to get choked out like that too? Why do they want to go to sleep?
Yeah, they have to like this infatuation, right? Maybe with fighters and just like I want to see what it feels like.
Oh, you know what the worst one is? Steve-O with Tim Kennedy. Tim Kennedy choked him sleep and then dropped him. And he bounced off his fucking head on the theater floor.
But why, you think Tim Kennedy would know better than that?
Yeah. I don't think Tim Kennedy gives a fuck. Right? Right? Tim Kennedy's a wild boy.
That's a special person.
Look at this. He chokes him to sleep.
Holy shit.
But again, look where the elbow placement.
His feet are dangling.
Wait, what is he? Hold on, there's people watching.
Hey,
yeah, this was on his show.
Oh, no, that might have been.
I bet you he told him to fucking drop.
I think the elbow placement was better when I saw it the second
time. Yeah, I think he did tell him to drop him, and Tim's like, okay.
Right.
I'll drop you.
He's got his feet dangling.
Really bad,
dude,
though.
First of all, very, 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 very
bad.
The guy hits his head on the floor, too.
You could die.
That's what I'm talking about.
That part. The choking out.
But why would people do that?
He's crazy. He wants that to happen.
I know, but why would Tim Kennedy put himself in that position? Because if he dies, he's responsible for that.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Like, that's why I don't choke nobody out like that.
Yeah, that's a real thing. That's a real thing in fights.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. 100%. I mean, you could end a situation just as easy. Like, that fucking idiot when I was in Vegas, easy right hand at his fucking chin. I was looking at him like the RoboCop where I saw the chin right there. But then he's taking his shirt off. I'm just like, you little fucker. And my kids were right there.
But
I'm
so
like,
much better.
I hit him. His head hits the floor. I'm fucked.
Yeah, but also the way you did it was kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
To show everybody, like, look, this is a.
And he's laughing.
And
he's
being nice to him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful.
At one point, I was
actually. Great commercial for jiu-jitsu.
Because I was.
Yeah.
Oh, I use that all the time as a fucking. I'm no salesman, but I tell people. And I mean it, though. I really do mean it. I don't point to any of my fights with the guys I fought. I fought some killers and stuff. I tell people to look up that. And it's not for bragging rights. It's not.
Look at you laughing.
It's like I'm fighting my evil stunt double.
Look how you're holding his wrist. It's like you're doing a seminar.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100% a lesson.
Yeah.
But you know what I really like, though, about Brazilian jiu-jitsu is, well, this is how it started, though. Because they came in like Weekend at Bernie's. So he's putting glasses on her and shit. So at first it was kind of funny. I'm like, look at this. Look at this. She's done. Look. She's like,
good lord.
So you got to understand,
Where is this? Is this in Vegas?
This is at the at the Red Rock Casino with the Fetita brothers own this.
And this was the weekend that you got inducted to the Hall of Fame, right?
Look at this guy throwing up his guard.
And right now he's see what happened was I'm with my wife and my kids. It's July 4th because the next day I was going into the Hall of Fame. So and this fat fuck. Oh, you're just subduing him. All right, get off him. Yeah, dude. Are you gonna fucking control him? Because right. He's gonna. At that point, nothing happened. I was waiting for this guy to grab my balls or something when this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lapse between me not controlling him and him not getting involved. But
right.
The thing was, the next day I was going into.
Does he try to swing at you when he gets up?
No, now he's saying he wants to press charges. So, what happened was.
He's going to charge you with embarrassing him.
It was the day before I was going to go into the Hall of Fame, and my wife's like, oh, we had family there in Vegas for me getting inducted in. So she goes, oh, you want to go down to the strip to see the fireworks? And I'm like, listen, man, there's a lot of drunks. I don't want to. Let's just keep it low key, and then we'll celebrate tomorrow. So sure enough, we're at the Red Rock Casino, which is so cool. I love that place.
Great place.
There's a bowling alley in there. There's a movie theater. You know, I love the movies. Yeah. And so me and my wife, my kids, and my sister and her kid were there. So we're at the cafe, and then you see them two walk in. The guy and his girlfriend. They were really hammered. They left. He left her there. She slumped in the thing, like passed out. And then he came back, and he came back really hostile. And he was like throwing shit at the waiters. And I go to my wife. I go, we gotta get the fuck out of here. I go, because I just know it's gonna get. If something goes near my gets thrown in our direction, I just know it's. I gotta get out of here because it's not good. Sure enough, my waiter was bringing me my check, and the guy got up. He got up like this. So it just instinctively, I got up. And then he turned right to me. And this is what this is what I tell my students. Because I don't look like a pussy. I don't look like John Rollo. Right? I don't look like John Rollo gets up. This is not. I don't look like a pussy. The guy looked at me. He goes, you got a fucking problem? And so I'm already angled. Yeah. I'm not going to be on World Star Hip Hop. I'm already angled. So then he fucking takes that fucking shirt off, and nothing's going to get better after that.
Yeah. You know, right.
So I stepped in around the waist, put him down. The whole place is clapping at that point. That's what you don't. And I tell my sister, I go, Sammy, I go, film this. Because I know what's going to happen. I know he's going to say I'm a UFC guy's beating him up. So that's her. My sister filmed that. She's also the one with the big mouth. Yeah, that's right. That's not my wife. My wife's quiet. So then, you know, then I gave him a little lesson, and then security ended up coming. And at one point, you know, I'm telling him to calm down, and I look up and I see my Maria, my middle child. At the time, she was like nine, and so she's looking up like, you know, like a little terrified kind of, you know. So at one point, I look up at her with the same tone. I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. It sounds like I'm talking to him. You know? So it sounds like I'm talking to him, but I was talking to my kid. But, you know, afterwards with that, I sent a video to Dana. And I go, hey, tell Lorenzo to get better security in this motherfucker. So that's when he put it out there and he went to TMZ. But I tell the students to look at that, the guys that are coming in, if they're unsure of jiu-jitsu for them, I go, look. It's first of all, it's nothing to brag about. You all know this. It's a drunk white belt. It's not like I'm fucking, hey, look what I did, everybody. Yeah. You know, I fought some guys that did something. But to the untrained eye, it's kind of cool. You know, it's like jiu-jitsu is like a superpower. 100%. It really is, man.
100%. If you don't, the other person don't know.
Yeah, please.
Good. No, I'm sorry, yeah. Joe.
I was going to say it's such a much better result than the Joe Schilling one. Let's show that.
Yes!
This is worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, listen,
this is the other end of the spectrum.
You could use jiu-jitsu, or you could use Muay Thai and Western boxing.
So here we're talking, but this is one of the beautiful things about jiu-jitsu. We're talking from a perspective of a jiu-jitsu champion, UFC champion, and a Muay Thai champion. And now watch how Joe Schilling handles this dude, because this is one of the most horrific videos that any drunk douchebag should ever see. This should be, they should show you in drunk douchebag school.
Yeah.
But this can happen to you.
Look at this.
So he bumps into him, and then the guy says, hey. And Joe Schilling turns around, the guy all that dude had to do was flinch at him, and Joe hit the switch.
But this is
crazy.
This guy just looks like a yuppie douchebag.
Well, apparently that guy
had been
like
on his fucking nerves.
He had been annoying everybody at the bar.
Oh, dude, he looks like a dick.
Look at this.
You know what I'm happy about? I heard he got off okay. I heard he got off.
Yeah, he got off. It's Did he really get off? Stand your ground law. Stand your ground law. Because it happened in Florida. Where you could
just you can do anything in Florida. Yeah.
God bless Florida.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. Bro, that's the last stop. If I move to Florida, the fucking empire is on the way out, right? When I move to Florida.
Yeah. Joe Schilling is a savage, man.
He's a bad motherfucker. He's so quiet,
but man, that guy was switch or turn in a minute.
Well, you know what? He's a great guy.
Yeah.
If you're nice to him, he's the best guy you could ever be friends with.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's the wrong dude to flinch on. Oh, my God.
But that's the way it should be, though. I mean, you know, I think most fighters are that way. Yeah, most fighters are like that.
That was totally unnecessary. Like, that guy did not have to do that to him. The whole thing was provoked. He's a dick.
Yeah. He deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it.
Learned a lesson.
That's the universe. Man. And those are videos for everybody to see, too. Like, kids should see that and go, oh, yeah.
You know what it is? It's Darwinism. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you an asshole like that, you dumb, sure. you get knocked out.
Right, or you get eaten.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that's how it was. You know, if you talk shit, you got hit. You suffered consequences. Now there are no consequences.
That's why I got off Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter in eight. My life is better. It's better. I don't even know what goes on there. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm in my world. Like, I do the Instagram because I like to spread positivity and I like to do stuff like that with my schools and stuff. But the Twitter thing, I don't get it. I get it if there's some important message that you want out there for people that can't get it out there. I get that. But otherwise, I would just see negativity.
That's all it is.
Maybe I'm too sensitive. I didn't like it. I didn't fucking like it. I want to be like Jay and Silent Bob and start going, all right, you cocksuckers. Me and John Rowell are showing up ringing doorbells.
That is the best thing.
I did not like how easy it is for people just to talk shit without any kind of repercussions. I don't know.
It's also, you're just dealing with too much negativity.
Yeah, exactly. It's not good for you. Negativity should be treated like a fucking cancer. And I do that at my school. And you get it out. I mean, if you just one fucking shitty guy with a shitty attitude could affect fucking how many more?
You're right.
Dude, I pluck them right the fuck out. It's a cancer.
You got to get rid of them right the fuck out.
Out of your life, too.
Out of my life.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier now, too. When we were talking about the pandemic, how I said I don't have to go to the city anymore. I used to have two schools. I lost the school from the pandemic. Fucking awesome. It's the best thing that ever happened. Some people, we talked about this earlier, because you got your fifth school now.
Yeah.
John's, some people like to expand and it works for them. I find, and as I get older, downgrading's the way to fucking go. I like one school, everybody's under one roof. I got three jobs, one's funner than my school's my main thing. My thing with Jimmy, doing the Dana White looking for a fight with Dean. I don't want to do it. That's it. This is my retirement, man. This is it. Maybe some voiceover shit. That's funny. You were telling me about that too.
Yeah. You got a great balance. That's what you want out of life. You want a great balance. Shit you like to do. Yeah.
I heard on here one time, I like that Jordan Peterson. I'd never talked to him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I like when you talk to smart people, it's like talking to an ape. I'd be whatever's beneath an ape. So if you're talking to him, you feel you're an ape. But I love his shit. I love what he says. And I remember he was on here once talking about how, and I'm going to paraphrase for sure, but retirement is like not that there's no such thing, but what is your idea of retirement? And he said like the thing with drinking a margarita is that's a postcard that's not a retirement. It's not a real strategy for your life. Exactly.
Yeah.
I've heard people that like, oh, I just can't wait to retire. Then they retire. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do with myself. Right. And then they end up fucking dying. So I think quality of life, and I think I learned a lot of this from Ray Longo, who's 65 and still fucking going. Quality of life is, like, to me, the most important thing. Like, you know what I mean? How you move.
I agree.
It's everything. We've experienced enough douchebags in our life. We've experienced enough shitty times.
Now you just want to hang around good people and just chill out. Yeah, have a good time.
I was telling Matt earlier that the Republican Party in Maryland actually asked me if I would run for the U.S. Senate seat. And I said,
John Rollo for president. Let's fucking go.
John Rollo,
the most jacked president in the history of the universe.
You got Maryland locked down. BJ got Hawaii locked down.
That's what I want the rest of the world to see when they think about an American president. A John Rollo looking motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
With his hand on the gavel.
But I said the same thing. It's going to ruin your fucking life. They're going to be up your ass with a microscope. They're going to torture your family and the media. And I said to Matt, I go, I enjoy my life. life the way it is right now. You know, I said it's comfortable. I'm happy. I'm my own boss. You know, we all thank Henzo because he's given us all a nice career through the education we got with him. So
thank God for Henzo.
Henzo's the best.
Yeah, he's awesome.
The best. What
he's
a
awesome.
Fucking guy he is. And what a lineage that guy's created.
He's changed He's changed a lot of lives.
A lot of lives.
In that Gracie documentary that I was just doing, I was like, there's a few black belts where someone says, I got a black belt under Hickson. Right, I got a black belt under Henzo. That's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of those, you know, that's like, you know, graduating from Yale.
Yeah.
That's the real deal.
No, I mean, that's the proudest. I mean, I'm Henzo's first American. You can say Ricardo Almeida technically is.
Yeah. But I don't consider that.
He's really
No.
You made us since you're 3 years old over there.
Yeah.
He moved over. He went to Brazil when he was like 2 months. Yep. I will claim to be the first American.
Yep. Yep.
But Henzo, when he came over, he was just so giving, man. Like, he brought me over. I was cornering him in the Rings tournament and in Pride and these things when I was a purple belt. I didn't make a name for myself yet. Like, and he really just did so much for so many. I remember when John Lawler's first day.
You know what? And the thing about Henzo is he's so different from like the traditional Brazilian black belt.
Right.
Because he's so, like you said, he's so giving and he's so, it's like tradition don't matter to him. When he said, when they were talking about, oh, you got to have your belt tied this way. And he
I
said,
remember that.
And he said, the belt is whatever the way it ends up, that's the way I tie it. Whatever it ends up, that's how it's supposed to be tied.
He's the man.
Universally loved. Everyone loves Henzo.
And he's funny too because, like, you know, now I remember there was like a modern jiu-jitsu student. It was in the blue basement and Henzo was teaching there one night and he goes, Henzo, when he was naming all the, when you go from the coyote guard to the K guard, he go to the K guard to the, and Henzo goes, my friend, don't make jiu-jitsu only for the intellectuals. Show me the move. And I'm there with it, man. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Bro, I listened to some of the commentary. I'm not exactly sure what they're saying sometimes.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It makes it weird when they start going, oh, you don't know the coyote guard? I go, dude, man, motherfucker. Oh, you mean the underhook when you're getting out with... Been doing that since last millennium, cocksucker. Oh, they feel like they're teaching you because they know the words. And it's like... But it's weird. I'm not...
Well, there's some shit like De La Riva. You know, like people... You have to understand that.
Yeah.
No, I get it. No, and I don't want to hate on... I'm not hating on anything new school either. I love it all. You know what I mean? But it could get confusing.
It gets confusing.
You know what I mean? So you don't want to
feel the leg lock game is confusing as fuck.
Right. Like the whole
When I was training, there was no leg locks. It was very rare. It was every now and then some dude learned some shit from Dean Lister.
Back in the day, it was frowned upon.
It was very frowned upon.
Why
foot locks were okay though? Everybody got figure four foot locks.
A knee bar, straight knee bar was okay.
Occasionally a knee bar, but like heel hooks were dangerous. But then, goddamn, the whole game changed.
Well. Danaher, John Danaher, my good buddy. Yep.
The Dark Lord.
That conversation he had with Dean Lister. Yep. Dean Lister was sleeping on my futon when he had that fucking... Dean Lister was visiting, staying at my place, training with me. I was living with Rodrigo Gracie at the time in Woodmere, Long Island. We had an apartment. It was fucking awesome. And Dean Lister was visiting, and that's when I would take him in. And he was taking out, like, most of the academy with the leg locks back then, you know? And that's when he had that conversation with John about why ignore 50% of the body. And then John starts fucking twitching.
Right. Yeah. And the computer starts spinning.
Changed the entire trajectory of jiu-jitsu.
That guy is someone right out of a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Donaher, like, that would not be a real person in any other time in history. That you get a guy who's a professor of philosophy at Columbia who becomes addicted to jiu-jitsu and sleeps on the mats and just teaches people. And he's like a legit genius, wears rash guards everywhere, doesn't give a fuck about anything but jiu-jitsu.
Had one at dinner last night.
Yeah.
He had one at my wedding. Came to my wedding in a rash guard.
He's an animal. And he's so fucking smart, man.
Super smart.
All he gives a fuck about is combat sports.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah. We were out to eat yesterday. And I'm like, Johnny, give me a day in the life. And he's telling me about all the teaching. Because I thought maybe he lightened up his load. Because back in the day, in Henzo's, he would just teach. And you'd see him
privates
with a pillow off to the side. And then, you know, then he'd get back up, do some more privates. I know from being a teacher, you could get fucking burnt the fuck out. I don't know how he does that. Like, it's just how. He doesn't do anything else. His first television that he had, my buddy Chad LeBrun, you might know Chad.
Yeah, I do remember.
he was a, we called him Hillbilly. He was from Virginia. He came down to stay for a little bit in New York to train with us. Mm-hmm. Couldn't take it. He goes, oh, I was in the supermarket. I said, thanks, ma'am. She goes, I'm not older than you. He goes, oh. Anyway, he just didn't like the whole New York attitude. So he goes, I gave John my TV because he, the only reason he took it is because he could play the, it had a VHS and a DVD thing or whatever that he could watch wrestling videos on and shit like that. That's all he'd watch. He doesn't watch anything else. He doesn't believe in any kind of, like, any marriage or love or no, he's a fucking he's an odd duck.
Yeah, he's a cyborg.
I mean, I
he's
know
the oddest duck I've ever encountered.
And he's really? Always been that way.
He's as smart as anybody I've ever talked to.
Right, right.
He's as smart as Elon. He's as smart as all these people.
Yeah.
He's just smart about killing people.
Yeah.
This guy just got his driver's license. He's 15.
He said he's 57 in Austin. Austin requires me to drive.
And he will end up back in New York sooner or later.
No, we got him.
I can't believe
it. You want him? We got him. Out here.
I can't picture him. It's weird seeing him anywhere other than New York. You know?
He's thriving out here, though.
No, he I know. Listen, yeah,
you know, do you know he's Gary Tonin's striking coach too?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. Isn't that wild? Just,
he does I mean, everything. I believe it. I
he
mean,
does everything.
If you study the game, I mean, it just comes down to information and knowledge.
Yeah, but I would very rarely say that I would trust someone who's never struck, like never like been a striker, to be a striking coach, except for him.
Right. Right.
Except for him. For him, sure. I'm like, he'll figure it out. Yeah, he'll probably be the best at it.
Yeah.
I like Gary. I wish Gary was in the UFC so more people could see him, man. He's got an exciting his jiu-jitsu game is fantastic. Yeah.
He's a risk taker.
And he's a risk taker for sure.
Yeah,
and sometimes it'll cost risks. Him, but
that match with Crone was one of my favorites.
Oh my God. That's really put him on the map. Sick. That was insane. It showed how good Crone is too.
Yeah.
To come back from that and win.
I feel for Crone in that last one.
The last one was not good.
That was so crazy.
I don't know what was going on. You know, you'd have to talk to Crone and respectfully.
He looked depressed going in and throughout the fight, just looking like he didn't want to be there.
I'm not laughing at that. Might as well tell you. Listen, I was telling you guys this the other day. So I got ulcerative colitis. It has to do with this. Joe's like, really? What the fuck? It has to do with this. Oh, I have stomach issues, man. I got fucking. When I have to go, I have to go, and then you don't know when it stops, and it's a problem. So I'm at the UFC. Aljo's when Crone fought, did Aljo fight that night or Marab?
It was that Marab? I can't remember.
I was
not
there.
Sure,
it was one of them, but I was there. I think it was there for Aljo. Aljo was fighting that night. That's right. So I'm in. I asked the UFC to find me a stall a little bit private. Because I got stomach issues.
Right.
So they brought me next to another one that wasn't so open, and it was through the showers and stuff. So I'm in there doing my business, and all of a sudden I hear some people by the fucking showers, and it was Crone and his whole crew, and it was right after the loss, right?
Oh, no.
So I'm in the, they don't know I'm in there.
Jesus.
So I'm like, oh, no. I'm like trying to stop my feet. I'm clenching my ass, and I'm like, and he's, all of a sudden I hear a, you know, man, you know. They wanted me to use my jiu-jitsu. I tried to use my jiu-jitsu. That fight sucked. And he's like stressed. He's like venting to his team. You know, nothing, you know, it's nothing crazy, but it's normal after a loss to be.
Yeah.
And the team's being quiet. All I know is I'm stuck in the fucking stall. I want to sneak out. The door's there. I could make it, but they're going to see me. The sink is over there. I got to wash my hands.
Did you ever think about saying, hey, guys, it's Matt Serra, I'm taking a shit?
I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. Because they were trying to consult. Like,
right.
They weren't really saying much.
They would have knew somebody was in there.
So sure, I know. But I was finishing up, and I was almost out. I was trying to stomp my feet. So I end up finishing. I finish, and I walk out. I go over, I wash my hands. And he looks up. He goes, what's up, Serra? I'm like, hey, Crone. And you don't know what to say. You know, I've been there, obviously. I got my losses. So I go, hey, man, I go, look, man, to be honest, you're going to feel like this until you kick someone else's ass. I go, then you're going to, that's gonna help it. Help you, man.
Yeah.
Bye! I'm like, dude, I just wanted to fucking put a lampshade in.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
It was bad,
what
dude.
A scenario. I want to see that in a cartoon.
Yeah, right?
They animate that.
Somebody animate that.
Gets me in trouble.
Matt, the colitis thing, what do you do for that?
Well, what I just went and saw a specialist again. I had three colonoscopies, and it's one thing they don't even tell me to stay away from a food. I'm like, so I could just eat anything. I'm even asking my wife because I'm a little droggy after being fucking put out and them, you know, exploring my ass. So I'm like, do I have to stay away from anything? And they're not telling me nothing. No, just no. Like, all right.
Have you ever tried to adjust your diet? Have you ever tried to do like carnivore? You ever try to do that?
You know, I know what I did. What I did for a while, and I believe it helped me initially with my weight, because, like I said, I used to be a fatty. I did the gluten free for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because now,
did the colitis help?
Did it help?
Get better at it?
You know what it was? I ended up having to get like hospitalized with my stomach because I was having extreme flare ups at one point, and I didn't know what was going on. So I went in there and they put me on an IV, and I was just on liquids until it calmed down, and then. So then after that, I started doing gluten-free because I didn't want to eat anything that I remembered that was flaring it up. And that was like Italian food and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was eating still Italian food, but the gluten-free one. Yeah. Gluten-free raviolis. Oh, there's some good shit. And I lost a bunch of weight. I feel the gluten-free helped me out a lot because I wasn't getting bloated anymore.
Yeah.
I noticed.
It's a big problem with me, too.
Cauliflower pizza and stuff like that. I wasn't mm-hmm. getting bloated. Now I don't think I'm getting bloated because I don't think I'm holding shit in. I'm just like fucking having the shit. But, yeah, so that's where it was with that. And then the last time I went, which was literally a couple weeks ago, they gave me something which I didn't do last time, like a bad boy. I got to do a stool sample. I hate doing
it. You got to take a shit in a bucket.
I got to take a shit in a bucket. And then you have – but then it's like Mission Impossible. You have 24 hours to get that shit. So I'm going to be like – and I always – no pun intended. I always forget to do shit. So I don't want to do it and then like not get it there in time.
How would you forget that though? Like if you shit in a bucket,
everything. I would know.
Yeah, dude, my wife, what's that smell?
Dude, my wife the other day, she woke me up from a nap or whatever. She goes, you forget something last night? I'm like, what are you talking about? You left the hose in the pool. Fuck. I always forget. I had to fill up the pool a little bit. Dude, my ADD. Well, I smoke a lot of reefer too. But my ADD is pretty bad. It's pretty bad, dude. I'll be teaching a move. Not to get you guys worried, because I'm usually in that state anyway. I'll teach a move and I'll go into something, and then I'll go back to show. I'll be like, I hope this guy puts me back where I was. I forgot where I was. And I'll look at him. Matt, where were we again? Okay, mount. All right, we're back to mount. I don't know.
Yeah. Matt, have you ever gone and got like blood work done and got everything checked out at like a reputable place that looks at all your levels and finds out what's going on?
I mean, I got my TRT doc that I go every 6 weeks. I get my everything checked for me. All my levels would.
You might have food allergies, man. You might be. It's the way you're talking about the gluten and the pasta. It's like there's a lot of people that react like that.
You know who actually gave me great advice? It was or who had say he told me something very similar. I was just in Manchester, England with George St. Pierre,
yeah, right.
And we were doing like a signing out there. He got me hooked up with it. He's such a sweetheart, George. And he told me that he had ulcerative colitis, the same as me. And the stuff he was telling me is the same shit I deal with. And I'm like, fuck, that's right. See, I see blood also. Yeah, this is gross. So we were talking about it, and he said that what he does is the intermittent fasting. So now he eats only between 1 and 9. He only eats between 1 p.m. and 9, and that's his window of eating, and he feels great. It went away. So I'm not doing that shit yet. But I might try that.
He does long fasts. He's done like multiple 72-hour fasts.
Yeah. There's days he said he does just the water.
Right.
He said he does that. He did that to kickstart it. But then now he just stays on that schedule.
A lot of people swear by that every now and again.
I think I mean, you know what it is? Because of my stomach, I do eat less. Like I'll have two slices and a hero instead of like a pie.
I think that might
be the worst fucking.
I think you know how you can overtrain your body.
Yeah.
I think you can overuse your digestive system. You know, if you're a guy like me or you, like I have a real problem. If I come home and I'm tired, I just fucking eat.
Yeah,
I just open up that fridge.
Is that why,
let's go.
Is that why you moved here for real, though? To keep your diet in check? You want to be away from all the good Italian food? Yeah.
No.
If I was in Austin, too, I wouldn't be dialing fucking pizza every day. Dude, the two brothers and the stuff near me, the Umberto's, they can't make a bad slice. It's fucking ridiculous.
There's great food out here. There's great food out here. I'm not eating pizza, so I don't know, but there's great food out here.
Everywhere you go, there's like these different restaurants and food trucks and everything.
I'll take you guys somewhere fun tonight. We'll go eat somewhere.
Now, I know it is also, I think why I'm staying in better shape is I used to always blow up, as you know, like, but because I knew I'd be getting it off because I had a fight coming up.
Right.
So it's like, if I'm fighting twice a year, half the year I'm training. So yeah, I'll become a fatty in between. I'd be a fucking...
Dana, enjoy yourself.
Dana used to always say the same joke, and he always has always like, you know, like the evil villain says something, all the other guy henchmen like, ah! So he used to always see me. He used to always see me and goes, oh, it looks like you ate Matt Serra. And they go, ah! I'm like, fuck you, Dana.
Oh, my God.
The same joke. God. You know, all the little fucking guys laughing. But anyway, so now I knew, because I don't have anything coming up, like I like 4 days a week, like 7 a.m., I do that 7 a.m. class, so I start the day sweating, and even when I'm not rolling, I'm fucking trap cyanogen, doing some arm locks. So I just start the day sweating, and I think it just gets my metabolism going.
For sure.
You know?
Dude, you're built like your dad. Your dad's a fire plug. When I first met his father, I thought it was his brother. We were at Henzo's wrestle-offs for Abu Dhabi stuff, and I said to Matt, I go, is that another brother?
Yeah,
he goes, brother. He goes, you know, I never met my dad. It was his
he
goddamn
father. He had me
father.
At 19. He's pretty young. Yeah. He had me young. Wild, yeah. I was the best mistake he ever had.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, he did good with that. But my father was a black belt under Henzo also.
Yep. Wow, that's amazing.
That's crazy to me.
That's amazing.
It's wild.
Not a lot of those.
Yeah,
father,
right?
Son, like father, son, black belt.
Yeah, shit, man. He has no neck either. The North-South choke. We used to call the North-South choke the Papa choke.
That's nice.
Because Henzo, you know, used to call him Papa. And he used to get North-South, and he had no fucking... His chest was like a barrel. He used to get fucking that.
Who was the first guy to start doing that? Because we used to think that was like a goon move. Like
North South choke?
At Henzo's was my dad.
I'll be honest with you. When I was a blue belt after Frank beat Tito, I went to train with him. Like I asked Henzo, you care if I go see what's up? Because I wanted to learn what he was doing for cardio. And he showed me a North South choke. He called it like a pec choke. And when I showed Henzo the move, like, Henzo was intrigued with it. And then he came up. He's got a whole chain of things off of if the guy turns this way, lock him up. If he turns the other way, he's punch choking him.
Mm.
Like it was pretty slick. But I mean, that was the first time I had seen it.
But so it used to at one point in time. I remember Monson got.
That's what I was going
to
say. Jeff Monson was famous.
Known for because he put I think he put Brandon Lee Hinkle out with it. If I'm not out with that.
Monson was a goon.
He was
so strong.
Still is a goon.
He is a goon.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the best possible term. I mean, he's a gorilla. I mean, that guy was so big at one point in time. I remember he fought someone in Abu Dhabi and he got a bad decision. So he took all his clothes off.
Pedepano.
Pedepano.
He neck cranked him and it was illegal. Pedepano tapped because he figured he's getting disqualified. They told Munson he won and then... cranked his neck. It was illegal, and they took it from him.
Look how jacked that dude was. Jeez. He's Russian now.
Henzo said his shorts that he took off, like they have one of them side, like open bars. Mm-hmm. His shorts
they're
hanging in one of the bars in Brazil.
That's exactly the way my father does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was so fucking strong. Man, if he got a hold of your neck.
Yeah, that's one of my moves, too.
He inspired me when I had to fight for the title. He inspired me to go for broke because his fight with Tim Silva is the worst piece of shit I ever seen in my life. I saw that fight, and it was a short, bald guy shooting from across the cage on that big dork Tim Silva, and fucking, you know, it was fucking the worst fight. I go, look, I will rather get knocked the fuck out than have that as my one title shot. Because that's what it would have looked that way. It might have resembled that if I just tried to get George down. You know what I mean?
I remember that knockout like it was yesterday.
So amazing.
While it was happening, I could not fucking with believe him and, my eyes when you knocked out GSP.
I remember that too.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You always had weird power. Yeah. Some dudes just have weird power.
Yeah. Longo, you know what it was, though? It, when we came into it's the journey of the way the philosophy is. My philosophy was I was like a street fighting kid. I knocked a couple guys out. I did a tough man contest at 18. Mr. T was the referee. I brought this up. I swear to God. Mr. T was the referee. If you look at, I brought this up the last time I was actually here, fucking how many years ago. And I knocked two guys out, and the third guy I lost. Worst concussion I had in my life. I fought three times in an hour at the Palladium in Manhattan. To this day, my jaw. From that contest.
That was your jaw?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was, I went to go eat pizza afterwards. My shit was out of whack. So I figured it was a broken jaw. And I went there. They said it wasn't broken. But to that day, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so weird.
It's fucked
that
up.
Is wild.
But,
was it hurt?
Where was I again?
Weird power.
Weird power. So, yeah, so Dean Silver, he knows me well.
I gotta keep a
I know, guys, it's bad. But so then when the Gracies came along, that's when I was 18. So then when the Gracies came along, they go, no, you could never exchange. Don't exchange. It's a crapshoot if you exchange. Don't exchange. Exchange. Close the distance. So I adapted that philosophy, and I was living jiu-jitsu, living it, and then ignoring the striking, because everybody was at that point. Because it was like when the UFC came on the scene, it's like, look at jiu-jitsu, everything
that's
else.
True. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden everything started coming back around. So that's when Longo's like, told you, cocksucker. I go, okay. So.
Oh,
so Longo,
Jesus.
So look Longo
at
had to make me
skinny, Matt. Look at you. Look at this. Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is all thanks to Ray Longo.
Oh, look at that right hand. Dude.
This was the craziest
You
thing.
Had some crazy power, Matt Serra. I'm sure you still do, but you really did then.
Thanks, buddy.
Dude, look at that. Boom.
So nuts.
Boom. I mean, it was freaky power. It was one of those things where, like, watching George tap to strikes in this situation, I mean, this was, it was a surreal. Wild, wild upset.
Had a house full of people.
The crazy thing was, you know, again, you were known as the jiu-jitsu champion.
Yeah.
You were known as... Yeah. One of the best jiu-jitsu guys ever to come out of America. So to see you knocking guys out like that was wild.
When I had to fight, thank you, first of all, thanks. When I had to fight Carol Parisian, I took the fight, and I was healthy, but when I first got the call, a couple weeks before that, I had a torn meniscus. So when they asked me, I'm like, I could run. I go, the feet, the floor didn't feel good. The wrestling I couldn't do. So... I felt like it's going to tear off if I did that. But I could do some jiu-jitsu, I could run, and I could box. So we did a lot of boxing for that. And I think that truly helped me because it's weird because I got tired in that fight, and I very rarely get tired, and I truly believe it's because I did not mimic the fight with the feet-the-floor sparring.
Right.
I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So you know when that's a different kind of win that you need to do it. It's like wrestling. It's up and down, up and down. And I didn't have that. And I got one of my few times in my career, I got winded. And it was Caro, he's probably one of the worst guys to get winded with because that motherfucker had a good gas tank. So I almost knocked him out in the beginning because all that boxing play, I just did nothing but hands for that fucking thing. And I was really getting used to rolling and coming back and landing. And Longo was happy with it. He was taking me into Brooklyn to work at Lou Neglia's school too in Brooklyn. And I was getting fresh faces. And I was really starting to feel good and get the timing in that I never had with the stand up. So where I fucked up with, I had him hurt. I had him up against the fucking thing. He got a fucking judo grip inside my fucking pants. You see me go to the ref. He's got a grip. And by that time, he weathered it. I still had to shoot my load. Got tired. It went the way it went. That got me into the tough house, which led to good things. But two things. The one, when I got him hurt, I didn't line that shit up. You know what I'm saying? I was just fucking... Yeah. So when I hurt George, Longo pointed to that. He goes, when you hurt him, manage your distance. Keep your distance, manage, and line it up. And that's what we did. And a couple of things Longo had me doing he had me having a fucking ball, like a medicine ball, kind of. It was rubber, but it was heavy. And he would have me just throw it during the circuit training, even after sparring, 25 times. That's his fucking head, bro. I'm throwing the fucking thing. Longo really made me believe that I could fucking stand with this guy. He goes, they think you're going to try to get him down. You're not going to try to get him down. And I remember looking at that Jeff Munson fight, and that cemented it. I go, dude.
Because you wasn't going to do that, right?
I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. I go, I'm. So I didn't know I was going to knock him out, but I knew that I had a very good chance of doing it because I was hurting guys with the 16-ounce gloves. And, you know, Longo's like, look, man, he's fucking head. And he goes, they're standing up. He's doing some karate shit. It's not that big. I love George, and he's better. The stuff he was doing standing at the time, Longo had guys feeding me the exact shit. It was weird. It was some Matrix shit. Because then in the fight, I remember at one point he did a high kick, a low kick, a high kick. I remember just being like, bing, bing, bing. Oh, I feel like Spider-Man. So it felt like a good day of sparring, you know?
Wow.
And by the way, everybody out there, don't watch the rematch. No.
when you went into the rematch, were you injured?
You never, well, who's not
the
injured?
Be honest, no, boy, be honest.
I'm going to just tell you the word. The word was, before the rematch, Matt had hurt his back. And that I had heard that you'd hurt your back.
Well, the thing is this. This is what happened. I was supposed to fight Matt Hughes.
Right.
And
that's when you hurt your back.
I hurt my back.
About, yeah.
And then I was out. And then that's when they fought. Matt, this was New Year's Eve. This was New Year's Eve when I was out with my back. So they fought New Year's Eve. I know because we did a watch party at MSG, you know. And they fought, so I didn't know who I was fighting at that point. So then my back was out. So then George beat Matt. So now I was fighting George. I was going to fight Matt as my first title defense. So now I was going to fight George. And then I fought George. So my back was out on, what is that, the 31st of December.
So this is the very injury you were talking about earlier.
Yes, the very same injury I talked about earlier because I was supposed to fight. No. Yes, that is the same injury. I was supposed to fight Matt. That's right. I ended up fighting Matt eventually.
Right.
But that's what it was. I'm trying to think of the timeline. So this was the December, 31st. That's when they fought. So then I had to fight George in April. So that's months there for me to, but I had to go through a camp.
Yeah, but if you have herniated disc and you go to a chiropractor.
So,
you're making it worse.
He's hanging by your ankles.
I wasn't walking then. But I ended up getting the weight off and
you weren't
being
walking?
Able to fight. I was walking, but how about this? When you bend over to brush your teeth, I wasn't able to do this. I was a fucking mess.
For how long?
It was my black belt, Dr. Yasha. I'm giving him a shout out because he gave me an epidural in the
city.
You know Yasha.
I know you had two epidurals before that fight. I didn't want to say it unless you
Well, he gave that to me. In, I guess, January.
So what does that do? That just kills the pain?
I don't know what it did exactly, but it got me back. Yeah. It got me back to being
what
somewhat...
What does that do?
An epidural? Yeah,
it's just a pain.
It's a surgery thing,
and
though.
And it does not always work either, you know?
It helped me. I was afraid I wasn't coming back. And he got me back, you know?
But that's what they do with women.
That's
when they
have babies.
That's
100%. Keeps them,
I had it for sciatica. I've had the shots.
Provides anesthesia that creates a band of numbness from your belly button to your upper legs. It allows you to be awake and alert through labor. But it's also, it's not that. There's also an epidural for back injuries.
Yep.
But Google that, epidural back injuries. It must be like some sort of a pain.
Epidural, there it is.
Blocker.
So that was January.
So there it is right there. The Cleveland epidural steroid injections. Yeah. So anesthesia's injection would inject an anesthetic into the epidural spine around your spine so it can stop pain signals. So that's what it is.
It got me to heal.
But your back is still weak.
Yeah, it's still fucked up.
100%.
Did it affect your movement with the epidural?
No. I'm gonna say.
I don't want you to say this because you're making an excuse. I'm just asking you as a human being, like, what was it like?
This is what I'll say. The epidural, it took me a little bit to get back into being able to train properly. But you got to think, I got to that fight. It wasn't my fucking best camp, but I got there and I showed up and I took my shot. And I signed the dotted line. And I feel George was so on point that night. What a fucking night that was, too, man. That was fucking insane.
It was 50,000 people,
dude,
right?
Chance of fuck you. Longo doesn't speak quietly. I couldn't hear him in between rounds. Chance of fuck you, Sarah. All I hear was fuck you, Sarah. You know what it was? It was around the time of... Talladega Nights.
So I did a thing
where I go, he should just drink his red wine and shut the fuck up. And I was doing some. I was calling him Frenchie, but it was all from the movie.
Of course.
And I love George. And it was, you know, I was a kid too. It was, you know, whatever it was. But I feel George was so on point that night that if I had my, even if I wasn't fucking tip top, I think I probably would, it probably would have resembled him and Nick Diaz with me. Like, so I didn't like that I stopped, you know what I mean? That tortured me. Matter of fact, when I was going to fight Frank Trigg, there was pictures of Frank Trigg's face photoshopped on George saying, I remember reading a thing, who else thinks that Frank Trigg's going to wrestle Fuck Sarah? I go, what the fuck is that? I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. Anyway, so it, just like I told Crone, I had to kick somebody else's ass. Because I didn't like the way that second fight went. It felt horrible.
Did you ever get over the back injury?
I feel good. Knock on wood.
Doesn't bother you at all anymore?
There's times where just like a couple weeks ago, I felt a little something that it makes me nervous. Where I'm like, I feel if I do this, I don't want you. You remember what it was like when? Do you have any back things?
Oh yeah.
It's worse. It's worse than anything you could think of.
It's bad.
Then your knees. Then because I had the new knee put in and this and that.
Yeah.
The back is worse because you can't do anything. Like, 100%. You can't do anything. Like, you know what I mean?
That's why I had surgery. Aljamain getting his disc replaced in his neck. Like,
oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is wild that he goes on to do that and then dominates Piotr in the rematch and then, you know, beats, runs through TJ Dillashaw
and then beats
Henry and out-wrestles Henry. Yeah. Dude. Wild.
He gets a lot of... Yeah. He gets unwanted hate, and he's such
and
a likable guy.
I don't think anymore. I think the tide's
people starting to like him now.
I think the tide's turned, especially after the Cejudo fight. I mean, come on, man. Give the gentleman his due.
You know, I was in the corner that night, and I was shocked that it was. I was shocked that it was close. I mean, maybe if you I watched it, like I remember just thinking, like maybe one round he lost, and I'm usually very fair in judgment, but you know,
yeah, the judges.
Sometimes you do
crazy. Sometimes they just get it all fucked up, and it's so dangerous.
It is. No,
it's like
scary.
It can change your career one way or the other. It's like
I heard a split decision. I'm like. Not a split. Was it a split?
Yeah, it was a split.
It was a split.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that. I go, I hope they don't do this to this fucking kid.
Oh, my God.
You know?
That is, people forget, too. They remember who won. When you look at the record books, they remember who won. Especially if it's close enough.
Yeah.
It's close enough. You know, like the Devin Haney Lomachenko fight.
Right.
Devin Haney is going to go down forever as being the guy who won, whereas a lot of people saw that. They thought Lomachenko won.
I thought Lomachenko won.
Shit, man.
Yeah. So dude, that's one of those doesn't matter forever. Yeah.
But he still won on paper. That's all that counts.
Yeah.
I remember a fight when they raised this dude's hand and then they changed it.
Well, that was.
What fight was that?
Are you serious?
Oh, that's right.
And that's why nothing made me
that's
more happy.
I was at that fight too.
Oh my nothing God. Made me more happy when he beat GSP because by MMA math, I was the world champ.
That's right.
That's right.
How did they do that? What was that colossal fuck up?
Basically, one of the judges wrote his score where my name was, and he had it upside down.
He used the excuse that we look alike.
Yeah.
That fuck. No, so all I know is I'm backstage going, yo, man, that was a close one, right? Fuck, man. And all I know is I'm chasing him around, getting jabbed in the fucking face. I finally get him down. And so, I mean, it was one of those things where... You know, I didn't feel like I lost, but listen, he won the fight. He was using. I always had that attitude where I was going forward, so I felt like I won. I was pulling a fucking Henry Cejudo. Yeah. I lost the fight. All right, you're right. You want to hear it now? Podcast.
Well, listen, I got the tattoo to prove it. I really got a tattoo on my arm.
Hey,
Matt, I won. Yeah,
he did.
Right on my arm.
They always break his balls.
That's awesome. That's great.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But, it took so I was backstage, and all of a sudden he's in the locker room next to me. So all of a sudden I hear them. So Dana went in his room. I didn't know that first. So all of a sudden I hear them all cheering. I go, wow, I guess it's great to be second place, Cocksuckers. I'm like, they're really taking this well. All of a sudden Dana comes in. He's like, oh, I hate to tell you, but they got it wrong. And I'm like, what? I go, no. I'm like, really? You fuck?
Yeah.
I will have to pay and everything? Anyway,
but
I
was fucked because like he got his hand raised. I never got my due, but you know they were talking about trying to get that redone and have a Buffer announce me as the winner eventually.
I was like, nah.
I don't want to.
They should do that the next one.
Yeah, the next one.
Yeah, I was like, nah.
Remember that fight 35 years ago?
I was like, nah. I don't want to do that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, man.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't have any fight that I've lost. I don't know about you. or you, Johnny, or you, Joe. There's any, I don't think, there's not one fight that keeps me up at night. And when it, nothing. And
yeah, me neither.
Me, I don't know. When, but when you're going through it, and when you lose, especially when it's fresh, I think you think you're going to feel that forever, that pain. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was because I had to see that Shoney Backfist a million times, and they use that in every fucking promo. I guess that maybe started me off being humble, because it was the first Backfist ever. But
you did dominate the whole earlier fight.
But my point is, I don't give a fuck about any of the losses.
Well, and that's what I try to tell fighters as a coach now. I say, listen, you got to fight your best fight, because if you lose, it's going to suck, but you're not going to care in the future.
You know, I want to tell you something I'm opposed to.
What's that?
I'm opposed to win bonuses.
Me too.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
That's I don't like it.
Well, I don't even know why. It doesn't motivate fighters. It doesn't motivate.
I don't think it's fair.
No.
I don't think the judging can be counted on as being 100% accurate. I think it ruins careers.
I hate the win bonus.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, you should be get paid to fight. You're
right.
Doing your best. It's the UFC.
Right.
It's the highest level of the sport. These guys are not going to fight harder if they, you know, to win. They're going to fight their hardest.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, they're not going to try to do something extra to get a win bonus to win. They're going to they're trying to win always. Like, it's not an incentive. It's just in the case of bad judging, it just penalizes the fighter who did nothing wrong, and it they can maybe rectify it backstage with bonuses if they choose to do that, but I don't know how often they do. But it shouldn't be – I think it should be a part of, like, what you fight for. You have a contract. That's what I think it should be, like boxing.
Yeah.
You fight for X amount of money, and that's what you fight for. That's what you get paid, not whether or not the judges get it right, not whether or not some freak thing happens and you get injured. Not, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't understand why they still have win bonuses, because the win bonus and the commission is separate. So, like, the fact that if the judges get it wrong, it affects your money.
Yeah.
And it's completely separate.
Maybe by 50%.
So the UFC should just be like, you know what, we're going to just make it right for the fighters and just say, listen, this is what you get paid. So it doesn't matter if they get it wrong.
I would feel better about that, just period, anyway. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it don't make sense to me neither.
I don't like it. Because it's like, these guys are fighting. I mean, sometimes guys lose and they're fighting their fucking ass
like
off.
A split decision is so close.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And some of just crazy fucking wars where you're like, Jesus Christ. And I know they give people bonuses.
Yeah.
But that's still.
Did you ever see the fight with Demir Ismagulov and Kudeladze?
Yes.
And, like, I'm sitting there watching this fight. Like, I couldn't tell who won. I'm like, one guy won the first round, the other guy won the second round, and then at the end, they were just going tooth and nail, and they were just fighting their heart out.
Yeah.
And then they ended up giving it to Ismagulov, and I was like, man, that sucks for Kudeladze.
Yeah.
Because he gets half his money.
Yeah, half his money, and it's just a toss-up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those fights. A lot of those fights.
I mean, they do it for the incentive, but I don't
does
think
it, does it, really?
it doesn't incentivize anybody to fight harder.
I don't think it does.
Listen, when you're in there, it's you're going to fight fucking hard. It's your fucking health at its
end. Yeah, for sure. Like, you don't want to get your ass kicked.
Dude, what do you guys feel about, you know, I was having a conversation with Josh Barnett about this, about dehydration and losing your chin and the dangers of dehydration and then massive weight cuts in the age of no IVs. Because of USADA, you can't use an IV. And, I mean, how much do you think, how much of an impact is that? It's a giant impact, right?
I think so.
I definitely think so.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm not trying to, Like, when these guys cut too much weight, I always think, like, they feel like it's going to give them an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you are dehydrating yourself so much, it's actually a disadvantage.
Yeah. And does it dehydrates? It's hard to rehydrate the brain. Is that true?
Yeah,
it takes longer.
For sure.
That's
for
what
sure.
They say. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but
you're
that's
not
what
a doctor.
Say.
I thought you went to chiropractic school. Is that the case? Does it take longer to? How long does it take to rehydrate the brain after severe hydration? Let's find that out. Because I think even with IV, it takes a while.
Yeah.
But these guys, you see some of them on death's door. If somebody looked like that normally, and you're like, all right, dude, you're fighting tomorrow for your life.
Right? Do you know the worst I ever saw?
True.
Worst I ever saw was Travis Luter. Travis Luter in his fight in Anderson.
Yeah.
He missed the weight. Dude, his lips were cracked. like dried out and cracked, and he wasn't walking to the scale, he was shuffling to the scale. Ugh. I mean, shuffling, and he missed weight still. I mean, he was on death's door.
Remember, and he got that opportunity from being on the show with us.
Right? With me, yeah.
And he dominated the first round. Imagine if that guy goes in there healthy and finishes him. There's no Anderson.
Yeah.
Silva.
Yeah, man.
No
bullshit. Of that. Travis Luter's got really, really good jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, yeah.
He was, and he had so much talent, but he's funny. Some guys maybe are too smart. We were in the house with him, and I remember, listen, man, you know I like to eat, so I'm eating fucking raisins. You think I want to eat raisins? He's eating M&Ms and shit.
Yeah.
And now he's the fucking smart one, right? And he's going, I go, dude, how you doing that? He's like, you know, you're eating raisins. Sugar's sugar.
Yeah.
I go, nah, dude, I don't think so. I go, listen, I ain't no fucking brain surgeon here, but I don't think sugar's sugar, bro. Trust me. I mean, otherwise,
raisins come with fiber.
He's like, sugar, sugar.
You're slower to digest into your body. That's just fact.
He's just telling me sugar, sugar. I go, I don't know that.
Do you know who he says is the most talented guy he's ever worked with?
Who?
Kevin Holland.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Travis Luter says Kevin Holland is the most talented guy.
As far as his students, yeah. Kevin Holland's talented as fuck. When he puts it together, he's got crazy power. Man.
Yeah,
I know. Long whip Tommy Hearn style
power. I know,
power.
Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah,
he's definitely got
when he knocked out Buckley, that straight right.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
That was nice.
Woo!
He just seemed like he don't take his
Chakare from his back.
He just doesn't seem like he takes his career seriously.
I think he does. I think he struggles with like real strong wrestlers. You know, I think he struggles with like Hamzat. But then they made that crazy agreement to just have a kickboxing fight with Wonder Boy. Like, do you understand what you're saying? Yeah. Like I know you see him in MMA when dudes are trying to take him down. But if you don't give any threat to Wonder Boy that you're going to get taken down, and Wonder Boy gets to do that karate shit on you, that's a fucking nightmare.
I know
that guy moves like a cobra. See, even at 40 years old or however old he is now, Wonder Boy's fucking terrifying.
He still kept it competitive, too.
Fuck yeah.
They're starting to get him down now, but how awesome is Wonder Boy, and how awesome is his sidekick? That's such an underused
weapon. Oh, I know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I love the goddamn sidekick. I like it defensively, offensively. I mean, he has the best sidekick I ever seen in MMA.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what? He slides into it.
Yeah.
He lifts that leg up and slides in off the back foot. It's total like point karate style. It's perfect.
But it's amazing that no one else uses it like that. It
takes
like
a long time to develop that.
It's
crazy. Also, you have to be taught to do it correctly, because a lot of guys do it incorrectly and it just doesn't have any pop to it, so they can't keep a guy off. Like, John Jones does it correctly.
Yeah.
It fucks up dudes' knees with that shit, too. Remember, he dropped Vitor to the body with a front leg sidekick.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah. And that was after Vitor almost broke his arm in half,
right?
Vitor got so close to tapping Jones. Any other human being other than John probably would have fucking tapped.
Yeah, John's brother, one of his brothers, played for the Ravens at that time, and he was at the game the next day, and he was slinged up.
He was slinged up for a long time. Remember, he was supposed to fight Chael Sonnen, and they went through he agreed to do the Ultimate Fighter because he really couldn't train. So he did that whole thing with Chael Sonnen, let it heal, and then beat the fuck out of Chael, and then broke his toe.
Remember
that? Where his toe was like hanging upside down?
Yeah.
His toe was upside down, and he didn't realize it until I was interviewing him. Then he looked down at his toe, was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
He sits down, and he was kind of going into shock, and he sat down. Look at his toe. Bro, his toe was turned upside down. So nasty. Look at that thing. Oh, my God. So to this day, you know, he has to tape his toes up on that foot.
Yeah.
And there was an issue at the last fight.
It was,
So he tapes those toes up like that, and they told him to take the stuff off below the toes.
That little piggy's going to the hospital.
Well, he was telling him, like, hey, he was like, I can't fight unless I can tape these toes up, which is wild to think that. Literally the GOAT has a problem with one of his feet.
Just one toe. Yeah, his toe.
But he finished Vitor with Americana, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I remember there was one of my students.
Let's find that armbar. Find that armbar.
Yeah,
it's
the
crazy.
Armbar, and then he finished with an Americana. Both basic, fundamental stuff. I remember one of the kids at the school was like, oh, well, he's just a black belt. He gets finished with an Americana. I feel like saying, dude, what the fuck? Because you haven't got caught an Americana in class lately? You're fighting in a cage, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
These guys think that.
So here it is. He gets him down, and people would just sleep on Vitor's jiu-jitsu, bro. Look at this. Look how tight this is.
That's awesome.
I mean, that is fucking tight, man.
Ooh.
And it gets extended. I mean, it is fucking extended here. Look at this. Now he's out.
It's good he's not in that quick tap club.
So he got out. Let's take a look at that again. Let me see that again.
Is there any way we can see the Americana to it?
So do it before that, because when he was on the ground initially was when it was the deepest. So he takes him down.
I love it. Because he see,
and
you know,
watch the extension. Okay. Watch the extension. Whoop, like, look at this here. And look at this here. Ooh, and baby, that is so deep. Look, he got out of it, though. He forced it out.
I wonder if he would have kept his heels. Oh, you got hindsight.
Who knows, man? I mean, it was tight. It was tight as fuck. And then here he is. Now he's out. Now he's got the elbow out. But, and then, you know, John starts fucking him up.
Yeah.
And there's a sidekick to the body. So he hits him with that.
Oh, and he just drops him.
Boom.
Yeah.
And that sidekick to the knee is so good, man. Like, it's so nasty.
And he cut through his guard.
Oh, right through.
Like butter.
There you go. There's that crucifix position again.
Well, John's a much bigger guy, too. Vitor really is a... There it is. Man. Vitor really is, you know, much better suited frame-wise to the 185-pound division.
It's funny, that whole TRT.
He took Vitor. That fight on short notice, too, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That was a fight where he was fighting at 85. Yeah.
Speaking of TRT, I have a question. I don't know if any of you know the answer to. Conor's supposed to be coming back to fight Chandler. Maybe it's not happening. Why, if a fighter is out of the testing pool, does he have to wait 6 months?
Because they have to make sure that you're not – it's really not –
I mean,
that's
if he was
scientific.
Clean for a month or 2 months, that's not enough. Why is
well,
the
here's
number
the thing.
Six?
It's like, it's in your face.
Oh, well,
it's in your face why this is happening. This is in your face. Yeah. It's in your face.
He's right. Well, he's
and we're letting it slide because he's got an injury that he has to recover from. Right.
Right.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. But there's no other reason why you wouldn't be, unless it's cocaine.
Right.
Unless there's something else you're worried about getting tested positive for, right. Which they do test, which is kind of wild.
Right.
Kind of wild that they test for that. Like, that ain't helping nobody.
Right.
Unless you're Aaron Pryor. Yeah. Remember that?
But, yeah. Aaron Pryor.
Alexis Arguello.
Alexis Arguello. Yeah. They gave him coke in the corner.
Yeah. Rest in
peace.
Give me
the other bottle.
Panama
Lewis.
Yeah, the one. Panama Lewis.
I used to train with that guy.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Is this before or after Louis Resto fight? Remember
Louis
Resto fight?
That poor guy's face.
Yeah. He was coaching Louis Resto, and he took all the padding out of the gloves.
Yeah.
And he was fighting, what's the kid's name? Billy Costello Jr.?
I can't remember.
That kid forever.
He wrecked his fate, and then the kid wound up committing suicide.
And they wouldn't let Panama work anymore. They wouldn't let him get a license.
Oh, it's... Is that the guy with the putting the plaster in the thing, or is that something different?
No. That was different. Now you're talking about Margarito.
Yeah, Margarito.
What are you talking about?
Billy Collins. Yeah, so it's Billy Collins versus Louis Resto. So Billy Collins was this up-and-coming, real promising young kid, and Louis Resto was not like a big puncher. That's why it was so crazy that he was busting him up.
And
Louis Resto has no padding in his gloves. So every time he's hitting him, he's just hitting him with bare knuckle.
Original bare knuckle.
Taped bare knuckles, too.
And Billy Collins is so confused. I mean, he was getting battered in that fight. And he was and his look at his head. His head's all lumped up. Look at his face.
And what happened to this kid?
He lost his vision. His vision was fucked up, and he wound up becoming an alcoholic. And I think he died by suicide in a car accident.
That's sad, man.
Yeah, I mean, look at his face. I mean, his face is, like, unbelievably swollen. And everyone was really confused because Louis Resto was not that big of a puncher. And then his dad went over after the fight and grabbed Louis' gloves, and he felt the gloves, and he felt the knuckle straight through the glove, and he knew there was no padding in there. See? His dad right there is grabbing him.
Oh, yeah,
see
that? Yeah.
See that? See? He's grabbing the gloves.
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. Look at that.
He's like, look.
He's got
no padding in his gloves.
He's pushing
look
straight
at that.
Through.
Yo, that's
horrible,
some cheap
bro.
Shit. So
what
happened with this?
That's so evil.
Oh, you should see that guy's face a couple days later.
Yeah, so, his eyes were swollen up. I mean, he wound up losing his vision.
That's sad,
Panama
man.
Lewis.
There he goes right there with the red shirt.
Some dirt bag.
Panama Lewis wound up getting kicked out, but he did work with Tyson, like, as like a sort of like... non-corner man role back in the day.
Well, I mean, he used to just hang out in the gyms.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that was what he...
That's so evil,
before
man.
He passed away, he just hung out in the gyms.
Look, his dad's over in their corner.
Bro,
the
that's
gloves.
So evil. That's so evil.
I still think that boxing's a way tougher sport for you than, as far as your health, than MMA. I do.
100%.
I think so, too. Yeah, it's hard, man.
Just the head trauma.
Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, these guys, they spar hard, too. They spar hard.
I know.
You watch some of the Gervonta Davis sparring sessions.
Oh my God.
He's going to war.
Yeah.
He's going to war and spar.
Or like at Mayweather's, I heard they would just do like these sparring sessions where they don't put time on. They just let guys just go at
duke
it.
Until,
you quit. They jump them into the gym, basically.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. I mean, look at this. Gervonta Davis is such a weird talent. So different than any other boxer. in terms of like the economy. Like that guy throws so few punches, and everyone he hits you with is so dangerous.
It counts.
But it's so interesting to watch him in the beginning of fights where guys like try to get a lead on him.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of measuring you up, and you're trying real hard to beat him, and he's just kind of measuring you up, measuring you up.
Just bang!
And the movement, god damn, he closes that distance so fast and throws that left uppercut.
Yeah,
it's so ferocious.
Yeah.
His straight left, the one that he knocked down Davis with, the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, my god.
Damn. Yeah,
no. Or Ryan Garcia, the one he knocked down Ryan Garcia with. That first left hand he dropped him with. And then the one to the body. Dude, he's so talented. He's so good.
Shit, man.
Such a good time for boxing. You know?
It is. Like right now, like boxing is what we thought. Just every time we think boxing's on its last leg, man, they put together a big fight to keep it alive.
Well,
I
do believe him and Garcia being like finally two guys in their prime out of having a big fight. Now you're seeing Crawford and Spence are going at it. I thought they'd fight like Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Right, you thought
it'd
was never going to happen.
It'd be too late. Yeah. But I think they're starting to jumpstart them. Now they're like, hey, let's start fighting each other.
Well, that is such a big fight, too. I mean, that's going to get over the casuals. Everybody's going to want to see that fight. That's a big
fight. I got to shout out Tank Baltimore. Tank's from Baltimore, world champ.
Got on his back.
Yeah.
He literally was Baltimore on his back. Yeah.
Shit, man. I can't watch anything but MMA, though.
Really?
I try to. Yeah. John knows. I've been at John's place for. I do seminar at his place, and the next day's the Super Bowl. I don't even know who the fuck's in it.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm the same way. You want some pizza? I'm like, give me pizza. You got any video games around here?
Right.
That's hilarious.
He's a movie buff. He's got to have
VR.
Movies for him. Movies and pizza.
You know
pizza.
What I have back at the hotel? I brought my Oculus Quest. I bring it with me everywhere.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Oh, I bring it with me to Vegas. I bring it. I love Population One. You ever
what is that?
Oh, it's a.
Look at you go.
I love it. It's a fucking. It's like a. It's a shooter. So it's like with me and like a squad of three. Oh! Population.
Look at
him
getting so excited right now.
You got so excited.
I love this. I live in here. I fucking live in here.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's fun. No, Joe, it's fun.
Is it first person perspective?
50, but it's fun.
So you're playing this first person? Oh my god, this is amazing.
It is so much fun, dude. It's like now it's free, so you got a bunch of like new kids in there. But it's like a lot of adults play. I play with my brother-in-law Edwin, and we fuck. You know who else I play with?
Who?
King Casey.
Oh, really?
Casey Kevin?
Kevin
Casey.
Yeah.
I haven't played with him in a little bit, but I played with him on there.
He's another super talented jiu-jitsu
and also,
guy.
You know what's so funny? I was in here the other day. I saw Fowler BJJ. And they go, hey.
Mike?
I go, yo, Mike? He goes, wait, Sarah, that's you? So it's Mike Fowler.
Oh, that's
he's
hilarious.
In Hawaii. So I play with Mike Fowler. He's in Hawaii. So me and Mike are playing.
Nerds.
And, oh, we're, I know, right? We're nerds. We are. Oh, yeah, you got to see. My wife comes out. Every time I'm playing, she'll fucking, I'll be in there. I'll be like, I'm going to snipe. My wife comes, and she hits my fucking balls. I'm fucking, you know, I just, it's like, she goes, you think you're getting some later. I got it. Honey, I was a Hall of Famer.
We were talking
it's
about
all I
it.
Like to do.
We were talking about it earlier with him in the video games. Like, I'm talking way back in the day, like
Niagara. Oh, wait, here I am.
Look at you go.
Oh, that was the vibe. I upgraded since then.
Naga grappling
that's
tournaments.
That's me in my living room. Like,
what are you doing here?
Well, that's what I'm climbing stuff.
He's doing a boxing game there.
The vibe, this is not nearly as fun. Now I got my I'm flying now. I'm flying. There I am.
Oh, my God.
But I know it looks really special.
We have those. You know what's great? The fucking shadow boxing game. The boxing
game. It's hard.
It's good.
It's hard.
It's good work, too.
It is good work.
You wear out.
It's the future, man. I fucking can't wait. One of my favorite movies is Ready Player One, and I listened to the audiobook a little too. It's a great fucking movie. It's a great movie for your kids.
I've seen it. Oh, Jamie, I want to before I forget. They got a Taekwondo version of this now.
Ooh.
So they're doing kicks now.
Wow.
Yeah, they figured out how to put. There was this something. See if you can find it. There was something they just demonstrated. So they put these leg things on people, and a guy and a girl were having like a sparring match virtually. So they like bowed to each other, shook hands, and they went to the opposite side of the room and they put their headgear on and they started having this like Taekwondo match. I'm thinking like as this gets more sophisticated they could do a Muay Thai version. I mean you really couldn't do a Jiu-Jitsu version obviously, but I think you could do a Muay Thai version
when it gets better. I think Dude, I mean, listen. I like that my, even though I got a new battery pack, I can go longer. But I like that it wears off. I like that it.
Telling you.
I like that it wears off.
Yeah, there it is.
This isn't new, though.
Well, I mean, I just saw it.
I know, so I was just.
Oh, it's from 2021. But see if you can find a video of it, because the video I just saw yesterday for the first time. I think that's it right there.
It's fun, man. I mean, it's so much fun.
I just clicked.
Is it somebody watching it? So here it is. Yeah.
I mean.
So these people were like, yeah, here it is. So see, they got like sensors on their legs and their shins and stuff like that.
You know, I used to be a regular, because, you know, the Call of Duty and the Halo. I used mm-hmm. to play that kind of stuff.
But this would really be good, like, that. Training practice.
Oh, for
better
sure.
than shadow boxing, for sure. Because you could do the same kind of stuff that you could do with shadow boxing, but you could do it against an opponent with no consequences. Yeah. It's not good to develop defense. But in terms of developing technique, it sounds like a really fucking good idea.
It's a cardio workout, too.
Oh, you can get a workout with that. My wife went through a couple of them. She used to do the boxing one with the workout where you're punching the glowing balls type of shit. And she had to go. She went through two fucking headsets. It got drenched.
It seems like you could take some things if you wanted to do Muay Thai where you put on like some things that just go down the side of your leg. And it attaches to your ankle, it attaches to where your knee is. So it knows where your knees are going, and it knows where your ankles are going, and it knows where you're getting hit.
But then you'd have to do it, too, for your elbows, too, if you were throwing elbows.
Yeah, you'd have to do it on your elbows, and, you know, maybe you could even do it on your...
Oh, shit.
Oh, this is
they're getting
wild.
Ready for MMA?
Oh, my God.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, this guy's got a giant... Look at what he's wearing. That's not really...
Oh, that's so weird.
Good point.
But it's also, it's like, you need at least a dummy down there. You know, you'd want to do that with a dummy. But you know, you don't. You know,
you'll
it's
be
not
seeing.
Some,
you'll be seeing.
Yeah,
something,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
maybe,
but you want to feel it, right? You mean you're maybe, just doing this in the air? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it might be weird.
But the striking in the air is legit. I think that could you really could learn some shit from that.
I didn't play the Creed one. They got some stuff. But as far as shooters, the population one. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. Hey, you fucker! Don't try to put me in a locker, you cocksucker.
Dude, I used to have a real addiction to Quake. I used to play Quake constantly.
I heard you say that.
What is Quake?
Quake is an online... Yeah, very similar. First-person shooter. Oh. You're running around shooting rockets at people. It's too addictive.
He was the Halo king back in the day.
I used to love
travel
games.
With that They're PlayStation.
So I did. But once I did this one time, I started with the Vive, and then now the... I can't talk to you guys! People out here are listening. They want to know about this. Listen, it keeps me out of trouble, okay? I bring it with me everywhere. I put it in my carry-on. And it's so much fucking fun. I can't go back to regular video games after doing the Oculus Quest. Because it's very immersive.
Well, that's why I don't do it, because I have one, too. And I used to play the little zombie game.
Mm.
And it was too fun. So I was like, I can't
listen,
do this
man. I get
much.
Some dopamine, man. I'm like fucking yelling. The worst was during the my kids were doing the Zoom, right? And they were at home doing it. Now they're homeschooled still.
And you're
but
in the background.
Oh, it was bad. They were on there, and I'm like, I don't fucking see him. Where is he? My wife comes in. She's like, they hear you. They hear you. I'm like, oh my god.
Poor Ann.
I'm like, sorry.
Oh my god.
You know. But it is a lot of fun.
Oh my god. Imagine being that teacher.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
Shoot him! Out of the background.
You'd be sending people to my house.
Yeah, Jesus
but it's just listen, good clean fun. Back in the day, people would probably get the same kind of thrill doing. I mean, listen, I'm not shitting on paintball and shit like that. But dude, I get my adrenaline up with this shit. All right, let's switch the subject. I sound really weird. Everybody's just fucking saying, wow, he had us.
Hey, let me ask you guys, what do you think about this upcoming Yair Rodriguez-Volkanovski fight?
Listen, Yair, obviously Volkanovski's going to be the big favorite. He's a big favorite. But Yair got that danger factor, man. Like a couple body kicks.
He's a wild
slow
dude.
Down Volkanovski.
And it comes from everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's hard to go against Volkanovski just because of what this guy. I mean, I thought he beat Islam too. And Max, I thought, would retire at that weight class. And he beat him three times, not once.
And the
not
last
twice.
Time was very.
Yeah, it was.
That's
yeah,
what made me a true believer, the third one.
The last one, I mean, he just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you saw in the Islam fight, too. He just keeps getting better. He's not even in his prime. I mean, he's in his prime, but I don't think he's at his full potential yet.
I was there live the second Max fight. I remember thinking Max won. And,
I thought he won the second
super
one.
Super close.
But since then, I feel he's upped his level. Yeah, he's gotten better.
He's pulled
since
away.
Then.
He's pulled away. And, you know, But Yair Rodriguez is
one of the most exciting guys.
He does wild shit, man.
He does.
And that crazy elbow.
Oh, everything with the Korean Zombie.
Jeez.
It's just so hard to deal with those kicks, and he keeps getting better. When he submitted Josh in that last fight, I was like, wow.
Yeah, he looked amazing.
Wow. He looked so good on the feet, too, even before that.
It's hard to.
But ultimately, I think that Volkanovski, I think his ground and pound is underrated.
Underrated.
It's underrated.
It's phenomenal. Everything he does is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's underrated.
Everything
like, totally.
He does. Yeah. I mean, I think he still should be the pound for pound best. Because if you look at it, I mean, he did go up a weight class and arguably, in many people's eyes, should have got the nod. But at the very least, it was as close to a draw as you're going to get in like a world championship fight. And then, you know, he went up. He went up in weight class. Isn't that what pound for pound's all about?
100%. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, I mean, it was an amazing fight all around, but I feel like that's the pound for pound.
I'm wondering if his performance against Islam will make other fighters now he's not so invincible anymore.
Perhaps.
You know, so maybe you don't go in with that mystique, and maybe somebody else goes in there and shows that he's human.
That squeeze is out of this world.
Sometimes those smaller guys are harder to finish than even bigger
guys. Stop trying to take up for short people.
I'm telling you. I remember the first time you walked into the academy like the fucking creature from the deep. And I'm going to Henzo. Put me with him.
My first day, he pulled you off teaching so you could help me with my private. That was at the old karate school.
And
man,
we've been buddies ever since.
100%. 100%. It's my man.
It's fucking great. That was at 25th Street at Penn.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me see the rest of that card, Jamie. Who else is on? Pantoja's fighting Brandon Moreno. That's an awesome fight.
Yeah.
But Whitaker and Duplessis. That's interesting. I thought they were going to go straight Duplessis to Izzy. Considering that, you know, Izzy's beat Robert Whitaker twice.
Yeah, a couple times.
And then, you know, Duplessis and him have a problem with each other.
Yeah, the Battle of Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have made that fight.
And that's the...
I thought they would have.
Yeah.
It was interesting. But I get it. If you can get past Whitaker, goddamn, Whitaker's good.
Whitaker's very good.
I think he's something like 12-0 as a middleweight against anybody not named Adesanya.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody wrote that.
Turner, he's a stud, too.
Yeah, Jalen Turner's going to beat up Dan Hooker.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I think so, too.
Jalen Turner's coming into his own.
Bo Nickel,
right?
Always love to see the wrestlers out there.
Yeah, he's a special talent.
Yeah, Bo Nickel fighting another black guy who can't wrestle.
Gotta build him up. You gotta build him up.
Do you know the guy he's fighting? Do you know the guy he's fighting?
I don't know.
No,
first of all,
is this his first time in the UFC?
No, he's he was on a contender series. I think.
In defense of Bo, he's new. You know what I mean? You can't just throw him to the dogs right away. And you'll see, I think, another kid out of Penn State, Roman Bravo Young.
He'll
wind up checking in the
MMA. I think Trayshawn Gore was on the Ultimate Fighter, I think.
Go back to that, the rest of the card again.
Robbie Lawler.
That's a fun fight right there.
Robbie Lawler and...
Oh, how about this one? Sean Brady and Jack Della Maddalena. That's a crazy fight. Yeah, that Della Maddalena guy
is
good, a
man.
Motherfucker,
he's good.
Dude.
He's good.
He mixes it up so well to the body. Like, his shots, the body and the head, like, he's so good at, like, digging under and creating opportunities. He's a nasty striker.
Yeah. I've been working with Sean a little bit. I've been going out to Philly working with Sean.
Yeah?
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
He's good, Sean Brady. Really good.
He's very good.
He only has the one loss, right? To
Muhammad.
To Muhammad. Yeah,
Bilal. Yeah. And, you know, Bilal is on a roll right now. I mean, Bilal's really coming into his own.
He's such a nice guy, Bilal.
He's a great guy. He wouldn't even swear. He would say, "What the fudge?" Like, on the podcast.
Really?
For him? On the podcast. Says, "What the fudge?"
He wouldn't swear?
No, he doesn't swear.
Damn.
Go back to the rest of the cards.
The way we all should be.
But you guys are going to owe Dan Hooker an apology if he wins.
I will. No. If he wins, I'll give him an apology.
You're gonna owe Dan Hooker an apology if he wins. Go back to the main card. Oh, Jalen Turner, Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker is one of those guys that was so close, right? Like, think about like when he had that fight with Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
Down to the wire. Yeah. Down to the wire.
I mean, so close. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I think Jalen Turner, especially after losing his last fight. I think that taught him a lot.
Tarantula.
Yeah.
Who did he lose to in his last fight?
Mateus Gamrot.
Oh,
and he had him
right.
in trouble. He had him in trouble.
He did.
You know what I'm saying?
Mateus Gamrot's a motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
That
dude's game.
Yeah.
That guy is game.
You know what has a win over Jalen is Matt's theme role of Favola.
Oh, he does.
Not just giving him a shout out because he's our guy.
That's
he's an exciting motherfucker, Matt.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Matty's so exciting.
Very exciting.
And he's one of those guys that, I mean, every one of his fights is fucking amazing. His fight versus the Tarantula is
how about the Dober knockout?
Yeah, I mean, I probably should give him an apology for him knocking out Dober because I didn't think that was going to happen.
Bro, he's no joke.
Listen, he's got the balls to pull the trigger.
Yeah, he's very game.
He's very gung-ho.
Very game.
And he's very powerful.
Yeah.
And he's another sweetheart of a guy.
Great guy. He knew my friend Dave Dolan. We had a mutual friend who was like the funniest guy I ever met in my life. He was my boss at one point in time. I was a private investigator's assistant when I was 21. And really it was my friend Dave lost his driver's license drinking and driving and needed someone to drive him. So I drove with him until he got his driver's license back. So I'd have to pick him up and take him to like people's houses when they were doing insurance fraud and shit. It was mostly like he was a private investigator investigating like, you know, mostly fraud.
Yeah.
But occasionally there was some like chick who was cheating on the guy and you know, that kind of stuff. So I met this guy, Dave Dolan, who's like the fucking funniest guy I've ever met in my life, who never wanted to do stand-up comedy. And he told me about this Matt Favola guy. He goes, you got to look out for my boy, Matt Favola. He's a fucking goer. And I remember the first time I met Favola, we talked about this guy that he wound up dying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sad. But fucking amazing person. Just like there's some dudes, you know how like there's some dudes in the early days of, you know, training where like they're so talented. Like, well, this guy could be a world champion. And then they just drift off.
Yeah.
That dude was so fucking funny. Like,
but
when
just drifted off, huh?
He just never wanted to do comedy. Yeah. And his cousin owned the Comedy Connection in Boston. It was crazy. One of the funniest people I've ever met.
Just ain't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that's the talent without fucking. What do they say that wasted talent is fucking? There's a saying somewhere with that. There's nothing worse than wasted talent. I don't know.
It's
like that with fighting too, though.
Oh,
man.
For sure, the
guys might have the skills, but they don't got the fucking dedication, or else you know it doesn't happen overnight either.
Some guys just say, "Fuck it, I'll get a real job." Yeah, we were talking about that last night. How you have so many of these guys in the gym that are straight up killers, like beating guys you see on TV, but when you put the lights on, it's tough.
That's to gym perform. Fighters, academy fighters.
There's also guys that get like one injury and they never recover from it.
Yeah.
One thing goes wrong and they just never snap back. You know, there's like certain things that just compromise your movement, like a neck thing or a back thing. They get it operated on, they're never the same. Like, Kane's a good example of that, right? Like, Kane Velasquez,
His
body just started failing on him. Yeah. Shoulders started going, knees started going. Remember, he was always injured.
Yeah. King Mo, that happened to King Mo, too.
Yep.
King
Mo
was a killer.
Killer.
And as soon as he started getting injured, like, his knees went. And
remember, he knocked out Hodger?
Yeah. Knocked out Hodger. He knocked out Jiří.
Yeah.
Prochazka.
Yeah.
Is Kane going to be, is he out of trouble with all that stuff? Or, I'm sure he's got to go to California.
Who knows?
I felt so bad for him.
The whole thing is so evil that the guy who did that was out on the street.
Sometimes the world just seems backwards lately with a lot of things, you know? You think of stuff like that.
It's nice to see Kane coaching.
I know, that's nice.
And AKA.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the legal status is, but it's a horrible, horrible, horrible fucking story.
Yeah, you can't blame him at all.
No, it's what every father says they would do. Every father says they would do that. He just went out and actually fucking did it, and he lost his mind.
And he's such a soft-spoken guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's
like
such the nicest fucking guy, other than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When he was in his prime, dude, before he was injured, God damn, he was a force of nature.
Man, the beatdown he put on JDS?
Oh. The cardio he had for
that's
a heavy
crazy. Crazy.
Brock Lesnar.
And for a guy with a wrestler base, his stand-up was legit.
Sharp.
What I mean?
Yeah. And no wasted motion. It wasn't like big haymaker punches. Everything was clean and crisp and coming in combinations. When he knocked out Minotauro, it was just bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
Like, woof, Cain Velasquez in his prime was a motherfucker. That's like one of the great missed opportunities. Cain in his prime versus Fedor in his prime. Because they were real close.
Yeah.
It was real close.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was real close.
Sharp everywhere. Did that guy retire yet?
Who, Fedor?
Yeah, I don't know if he did. I think he fought again recently, right?
I think he did,
I think
too.
He won his last one.
No, he didn't win.
He lost again? Jesus,
he definitely lost.
What is wrong?
Was it with Bader? Did Bader beat him?
I think you're right, man.
Bader KO'd him, and then Bader, did Bader just beat him again?
I think Bader beat him again. I think he beat him again. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's
he keep running out there for? He's got nothing to prove.
I think maybe he likes it.
I think some guys have a trouble transitioning into the other part of their life.
TKO, 230 round one.
You just don't, you know, thank God I left the sport my chin. Some guys, they leave that sport, they leave the chin in there with them, you know?
You can only get, I mean, look at what happened to your jaw, that one tough man fight. Now imagine the fights that Fedor's had. Imagine those Crow Cop fights. Imagine Crow Cop danging you in the chin over and over again. Imagine all those fights he had.
And it seems Bigfoot, once that button gets pushed.
But I tell you what, though, when Fedor was in his prime, I was with Jeff Munson in Russia when Fedor fought him. And I remember Jeff Munson walking out that tunnel, and it looked like a man was walking to his execution.
Oh, my God.
And he beat the hell out of Jeff Munson. He broke his femur.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it was the worst leg beating. Kick? Yeah, it was the worst beating I've ever seen a human being take.
Oh, let me see that.
That's pretty crazy.
Oh, my
God. He beat
God.
The he hell out of Jeff.
Femur.
Beat the hell. Jeff couldn't walk after that. He beat the hell out of Jeff Munson.
Oh, I remember that. I remember being horrific. I didn't know he broke his femur, though. This was Fedor in his prime, man. And what was this for? What organization was this for?
I don't even remember.
A weird M1. M1.
Yeah.
So this was right around the time where they were negotiating with Fedor to come to the UFC. Because Fedor and his representatives met with the UFC at one point in time, and like many points in time. And there was like some real, heated discussions, and it became a bit of an issue. Like, this is Fedor in his prime. God damn, he looked good. How tough is Munson, though? He just eats
it. He's shooting and pulling guard.
Yeah.
I mean, is Munson still doing it?
Fedor's just teeing off on him.
I mean, he lives in Russia now, right?
Oh, my God. God damn, Munson could take a shot. I mean, look, he's built like a tank. But,
for real.
But the fucking shots he's eating from arguably the heavyweight GOAT.
Oh, man.
I mean, hand other than John Jones, I would have loved to see Fedor versus John Jones. But other than John Jones.
Imagine if Fedor fought 205 where he belonged. I mean, this guy was fighting heavyweights.
No shit, right?
I don't think he believes in cutting too much weight.
Yeah. Well, I think that probably also led to his durability.
Yeah.
You know?
So there I go right there. You see me on a little corner?
And healthy.
Fedor was crazy durable. I mean, when he walked down Crow Cop in that fight, I was like, this is crazy. Like, this guy is, you know, you've known him as a Sambo guy. And here he is. He's walking down one of the greatest kickboxers that's ever competed in MMA. That's how talented that guy was.
He got a little belly, too.
Oh, yeah. Always had a belly.
Had the dad bod going.
Always had that body. I mean, never was ripped, ever. Crazy.
Didn't matter a little bit either what he looked like.
He was a bad motherfucker, dude. So those Minotauro fights, when he stopped Minotauro, those are horrific.
Jesus.
He got his half guard.
That's when Minotauro
like,
was really, you know, crushing.
Just dropping bombs on Minotauro. You're like, oh my God.
Hey, what about he hit Orlovsky out of the air?
Orlovsky tried
to fly. He cracked him and slept him in
and
the air.
And what's fucked up about that, Orlovsky was Winning. He was doing good. Yeah. Man. He got
Everybody forgets how good Orlovsky was in his prime.
Dude, Freddie Roach said he could have been a very good professional boxer if he had a chin.
Well, remember when Fedor knocked out Tim Sylvia, too? What was that for? That was Affliction.
The Affliction, yeah.
Yeah, I think this was Affliction, too. Yeah, look, the logo's on the ground. Yeah.
When Ray Mercer knocked out Tim Sylvia.
Yeah, remember that?
Orlovsky was dangerous, man. Look at this. And he got crazy here.
Boom.
Oh, trying to fly a knee.
That's a laces out moment.
Couldn't take the shot. Crazy. Because he was winning that fight up into that 100%.
100%.
I mean, who knows what could have happened if he had kept that going. Like, he just right clipped. On the chin. I mean, he ran right into it, too. It's crazy.
All I know
the
is
the amount of power in that.
I wonder how much fucking nair he uses. He fought back in the day when I was fighting, and Orlovsky had a fucking straight sweater. And now I look at him now, I'm like, where's the werewolf? How does he get rid of that?
There was one other dude who fought in the UFC that one time he had all the hair. He left all his hair on his body. So, God damn it. He was a heavyweight. I forget his name, but it was crazy.
And what did he do? Oh, he had
like,
a lot
he
of
had hair?
Hair
everywhere, like all over his body, like his back and everything.
Holy.
Yeah, that's one dude, but that's not the dude. The dude was a heavyweight.
I would have
about a Russian.
American guy. I forget his name. No. That's Gabriel Gonzaga. Gonzaga, pretty fucking hairy, too. That's the dude.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
dude. Yeah. I'd rip that shit off and blow
God
it in
damn
his
it,
face.
I forget his name. I apologize.
That's a lot of fucking
He fought
names.
Stefan Struve. Go into Stefan Struve. Go to Stefan Struve's Wikipedia and find out who it is. But dude had crazy hair. Like, ridiculous. Like look like a caveman.
Yeah, you got to manscape that bitch.
Or not.
You like
it?
It's
very intimidating.
Yeah.
You looking at a dude who looks like he's... Well,
that's like it's like a lion mane. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
dude, Sean Alvarez, he looked like he was wearing a sweater. Good as that guy's built. I mean, he kept it shaved, but if he let that shit go, it was going to be a werewolf in the house.
The scariest shit to me is hairy Russians.
Yeah, man.
See, hairy Russians, they're just built different. Yep. They're stronger than most humans. So here it is. Let's see. What? This is quite a while ago. Back up a little bit. Back up.
I'm back. I don't know which way to go.
No, keep going down. Go down, because that's older. No, down.
This is not the UFC, though.
Oh, it's not the UFC? When does he start?
It starts.
That's where it was. That's right where he started UFC. Chase, I don't know.
Let's see. Go up. Dave Herman. That's it. It's Dave Herman. Yeah, so go. Now look up Dave Herman. So there you see him all shaved. Look. Looks like fucking like an Adonis,
there
right?
There
you go. Now look, Google Dave Herman hairy back.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that crazy? Like that dude, when he shaved it all, he looked fantastic. Like a male model. But when he let it all grow out, only one time I think he did it. And it was like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. Yeah, look at him.
Holy.
Yeah, like a wolf. Crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
It looks like a completely different dude.
I know. Yeah, make that picture bigger, Jamie. That picture.
Yeah, there.
That shit's ridiculous. Look at him.
Yeah, shit,
that's
man.
A hairy motherfucker. Holy shit, man. That's
oh
a werewolf.
Oh, my God.
Was that the dude that said jiu-jitsu didn't work?
Yeah, that's him.
And then he got then arm he got, locked yeah, or
yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I think he was fucking around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Playing the old mind games.
Yeah. The old mind game. But that one is a mind game for a guy like you. It probably pisses you the fuck off.
Right when they say
yeah, jiu-jitsu doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he got arm locked. Did he get arm locked?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I know he got submitted in that fight.
And I hate those shirts. Oh, if Sambo was easy, it'd be jiu-jitsu. Yeah, right. Shut the fuck up with that.
Ask ONE FC when all the world Sambo champs are coming and fighting the jiu-jitsu champs, and it's not going the Sambo champs' way at all.
In ONE FC, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean for grappling matches. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but like for MMA, though, a lot of people make the argument that combat Sambo style is probably even better with striking because it's so much. Like,
you know what the problem is that jiu-jitsu is like now what taekwondo was back in the day. And it just like went in this different direction. So now it kind of went away from where we are in MMA.
A competition direction.
Right. A competition direction.
Even
like,
someone who just does a competition jiu-jitsu, let's say they never did any kind of distance management and stuff like that. They'll still strangle the fuck out of your average people.
Yeah,
like,
and
they'll still be able to defend themselves. It's still better than the majority of fucking other arts out there.
And it really depends on which kind of competitors you're talking about. Because if you're talking about like Mikey Musumeci, like that little motherfucker is an assassin.
Yeah.
Like he's coming to close the show on you. He's not trying to win on points.
Right.
That dude is always trying to close the show.
Savage.
He's a spooky kid.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to catch up.
He's like
a
man of jiu-jitsu.
100%. He's training 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Every fucking day and only eating once.
Yeah.
He's eating pizzas and pasta.
I love that. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, they see that thing with the Sambo and them saying that it's better for combat sports, mixed martial arts and stuff. When you look at the arts as a whole, you know, the wrestling, they could say the same thing for wrestling.
Sure.
Wrestling, but... What if you meet a bigger wrestler? Like, in other words, the thing about jiu-jitsu is the self-defense aspect of it, where what about the defense? All right, yeah. Like, this fight's where, like, Carol, for instance. Man, I had nothing in a tank. Nothing. I was so shot. I got to show a nice fucking arm lock escape. I got to show a nice... I don't know if they have similar defenses and escapes. When I had zero in the tank, I made it to the... I ended up on top of him with an escape.
That's
and
right.
I'm talking about nothing in the tank. So jiu-jitsu served me not only as the hammer, but when I was being the fucking nail. And it stopped me from ever having to say uncle in there. Where if I didn't have the defensive part of jiu-jitsu, the technique, not just the offensive part... You know, I would have been fucked. I would have tapped
out.
Can
I ask you something right now? Are you rolling right now?
Oh, 100%.
What are you doing with those claws?
Look at those claws.
Yeah,
you know what's funny about that?
I would pull him aside and be like, not even funny,
baby.
Clip, clip, clip.
You know what's funny about that? I saw that shit this morning, and I was going to get this, go look for a nail clipper.
How do you let him get that long?
It grows quick, man. I'll never forget. I was with Bruce Buffer in Hawaii, and he goes, I was asking, was he's a little bit older, Bruce Buffer? And he was saying, oh, well, like, I think he said, he was talking about the hair. Like, because I do that too a lot. I'm always fucking trimming the nose hair and the fucking ear hair. As you get older, shit just comes out. So, yeah,
what are
Joe,
you talking about? They're fucking fingernails. They grow normal speed.
So what the fuck do you want from me? You have an extra clipper? I just go to a fucking salon now?
I used to always think
Jamie,
about
look
BJ.
Up the nearest salon. No, I'm only
BJ Penn always had some claws, too.
Did he really?
Bro, are you rolling with those? Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, man.
I normally am better than this, but, you know.
That is true. They are kind of
I got an infection once. Some dude's pulling my hooks out.
I haven't clawed anybody recently.
Accidentally clawed me, and it got infected.
Oh, so now you probably have a now you probably have a
Nail phobia.
You have like a insta radar with that shit. You see the fucking nails, you probably like stay away.
That was another crazy thing about the Henzo gym was all the fucking staff. So much staff came out of that.
Is that right?
Yeah, so much staff came out of that place.
A lot of that's due to the people, man. They got to just take.
Right.
Got to just wash yourself.
Take a shower. Clean your. A lot of that's gear.
Whenever shit's going down like that, because I wash my mats after every session. Yep. When there's stuff going on, I go, hey, man, you guys, I see people leaving this place without showering. Now, I'm not following you home, but you better fucking shower when you get home.
You should shower right away.
You
right?
should shower there. We try to, like, talk them into, like, look, try
to
shower
defense
here.
Soap? Do you use
I
that
have
stuff?
Defense soap. Yeah,
defense soap is the shit.
I haven't had a skin thing for a while, knock on wood.
Do you take acidophilus or any probiotics or something like that? That's supposed to help.
Say it again?
Acidophilus, probiotics, any kind of probiotics.
No.
Supposedly that healthy skin.
Up against none of that
no,
shit.
Skin.
I don't
flora.
Fix mozzarella.
But, you know, kimchi. Fermented things, like fermented sauerkraut, kimchi, it's all probiotics.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I have is I drink the kombucha.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's fermented.
I drink
yeah,
that.
That's
I like that.
That's
like
very
that
good
a lot.
For you. That's very good for you. Know, that's the same kind of thing.
I thought that would cure any of my stomach trouble, but no
I
cure
have
yet.
A feeling if you tried carnivore diet, it'd probably help you a lot. I know it'd be hard for you with that obsession with Italian food, but if you tried it.
Yeah, but he likes a lot of meat, too.
It's all meat.
Yeah, I could eat
it's
meat.
All
meat.
It's all we ate it's all last meat. Night. We killed it.
Where'd you guys go?
Just hit Fogo de Chao.
You and I have been at about 18 Fogo de Chao's.
I think so.
That's the spot, man. All you can eat, and they just keep coming by with meat. Let's fucking go.
It's literally right next door to the hotel, so you couldn't go wrong.
And you start eating the moment you sit down.
Yeah.
There's no waiting. Yeah. Let's go.
The second, she didn't, have you been here before she even finished a sentence? We turned that shit over to Green.
We were the last people. They were cleaning, putting chairs
like,
up.
Yeah,
we're still there.
I love those places, man.
Oh, yeah. Brazilian steakhouses are the shit.
I wonder if the Brazilian steakhouses took a hit after the movie Bridesmaids. Did you ever see Bridesmaids?
Yeah, no. What a hilarious movie.
It's pretty funny. There was a part when, for the shower, the girl's shower or something.
Things get married.
She's getting
they
married.
Were getting dress
so
fitted for
the dress fitting. She goes, oh, let's go to this Brazilian place. Oh, good call. Next thing you know, who's Melissa? Who's the
McCarthy?
She's fucking hysterical.
Yes.
They run into the fucking thing. She one of them goes into the fucking. Yeah, it's so
shits right
disgusting.
In the sink.
She goes into the sink. She looks. One of them is throwing up in the bowl. The other girl puts her ass in the sink. She's shitting in the sink, and she's like, "Look away, look away."
Yeah,
it was fucking
hilarious.
Great. But ever since then, man. I wonder if they took a hit with that because
I
always remember
know.
That fucking
you never
scene.
Know.
It's disgusting, some bad meat. But I do like that Fogo
hell yeah.
place. That is good.
Yeah, I hadn't been there in a minute, so it was good to
you
go.
You know where most people
it.
Get food poisoning from? Salad.
Right. Salad?
Really? Salad.
That's why we don't eat it.
You make fun of me.
Google that. Make
green.
Sure that's true.
No rabbit food.
I read that once. It might be bullshit. Let's make sure it's true.
I'm allergic to
because someone told me it's like people that don't wash their hands when they're handling salad.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get bacteria.
Oh, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's not cooked. I mean,
especially if you're not cleaning the leaves.
Yeah.
Someone told me that that's a
I think salad's fucking disgusting. I just don't like it. I'm not a good
survival
just,
food.
Yeah. I used to eat broccoli when I was getting to 155.
Fresh salads are another top source of food poisoning. But pinpointing the cause can be tricky. Some outbreaks are tied to a specific kind of greens, often romaine, lettuce, and spinach, or to certain growers or packers. Salmonella or other bacteria can be traced to dirty irrigation water, soil, or human hands. Yeah. A lot of people get that shit.
See?
But I think that's they get it from a lot of other things,
that's why
too.
You don't eat rabbit food.
But then again, you know how many people get salmonella from eggs? I did not know this. It was Moby was talking about it because, you know, Moby's a crazy vegan.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, talking about how you shouldn't eat eggs. And eggs are like the most karma-free food if you get pasture-raised eggs.
Yeah.
Those chickens are just eating bugs and grass, and then they lay their eggs. And as long as there's no rooster, that's never going to be a chick. It's just food.
I actually learned that here. I didn't know that they just laid eggs for hell.
I didn't know until I had them. I felt so stupid. I was 40. I was like, this is how dumb I am. I think every one of those. I'm like, how could it? I'm like, what? Jesus Christ, I know biology.
Yeah.
In my mind, an egg leads to, they lay the egg, it must be, there's a chicken there.
Right.
No, it's just eggs. They lay eggs every day.
They do?
Yeah, when you have healthy chickens, especially when they're young, they'll lay eggs almost every day.
I don't even eat fucking eggs.
What? Yeah, I had 19 chickens at one point in time. All, I was eating fresh eggs every day. It was amazing.
I need to get some chickens.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's great.
I did not know
and
that.
They just, you know, you give them chicken feed, but they also, they eat worms, and they eat the fucking shit out of mice. If they catch a mouse, they will fuck that mouse up. Oh, my
God. That is crazy.
You've never seen it. Okay.
No.
We've showed many people, unfortunately, if you're watching this at home, you're going to have to watch it again. Watch watch a cat is playing with this mouse, and the cat is just letting them out, and the chicken runs over. Give me that, bitch!
Really?
And steals the fucking mouse from the cat, and the chicken fucks that mouse up. Watch this. So the cat's playing with it, and the chicken's observing. It's like, bitch, you ain't even doing nothing. The chicken's like, give me that. It just steals it from them.
Damn!
It eats it?
Fucks up that mouse. What's they eat them, man. They eat them.
Wow!
Did they eat them ferociously? We had a mouse in our chicken coop, and one chicken ran off with it, and the other ones are chasing her and trying to steal it from her mouth. Yeah, they're
crazy.
Saw a video of a deer eating a snake, or it was something one of those type of
deers eat. They eat birds all the time.
Yeah,
ground nesting birds.
I get my education on here. I heard that one here as well. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Eat
then
a
there
snake.
It is. There it is.
What?
Yeah, they'll eat snakes. They'll also eat ground nesting birds. They'll find birds that can't move good, and they'll eat them. Cows do that too sometimes. There's videos of cows eating birds, but there was this bird net that they use to trap birds, like a specific kind of birds. Look at that. He's eating a bird. That fucking deer's just straight up eating a bird.
I didn't know that.
People don't know Bambi's a
murderer.
I thought
they just ate goddamn leaves.
Most of the time they do. But if they have an opportunity to eat a little birdie,
they get a chance.
Chew that fucker down.
I'll tell you,
survival of the fittest out there.
My father-in-law, Ciro, oh, man, he makes the best. He's a hunter. He makes me some the deer meat, the venison.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Stuff. It's my fucking favorite.
So good for you.
Oh, it's so delicious. He makes it like it looks just like a veal cutlet. Like he breads it and it is so. I heard people say that it's like gamey or something.
Well,
not the way he makes it.
You gotta know how to prepare it.
Melts in my
mouth, man.
It's also how you butcher the animal in the field. Like a lot of times people don't know what they're doing. They'll get the glands. Like there's tarsal glands that are on these deer, especially when they're rutting, which is when you're hunting them. So they're emitting scent from their glands. And if you get that scent on the meat, it'll fuck the meat up.
I don't know what he does.
But it's like a fear, right, when they get scared?
No. It's like their hormones. Oh. Like they're letting out scent for other deer. Or they're trying to fuck. They're trying to fuck and they're trying to fight. So they're putting out this in their glands. A lot of times people will accidentally cut their glands when they're butchering the animal, and that shit will get on the meat. And also, if you don't immediately cool the meat down, that's very important. Like right after you kill the animal, you have to butcher it and cool that meat down. That meat can't sour. You don't want it outside being exposed to the heat. You want it in a cool, dry place. You want to get it on ice as quickly as possible.
Well, however he did it like that.
Yeah, obviously he knows what he's doing.
It's fucking delicious, man. Do you like it? Do you like the
meat? I love
that.
Yeah, I love it. I love elk meat.
It's like, I think it's my favorite meat. It's so good.
It's so rich in protein, too. It's very, very good
for
you.
Oh, I feel powerful when I have it.
Yeah,
I feel like John Rollo.
The final boss.
Yeah, it's great
for you. But the problem with food is the shit that's the most delicious sometimes is not fucking good for you, like lasagna.
Yeah, I think most of the time.
All that noodles. Yeah. That noodles are not fucking so good for you. That amount
of
noodles.
Pasta, ravioli, gnocchi, tortellini,
so
just stuffed shells, send it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, man. So good. You get fucking... And also, I overeat with that. The thing, what I noticed about the carnivore diet is... When I'm done, I'm done. Like, if I'm only eating steak, I can only eat so much, then I'm done. But if there was, like, mashed potatoes or spaghetti.
You don't eat that? You don't eat, like, mashed potatoes with your steak?
I don't eat anything.
Just meat?
Just meat. Yeah.
No greens or nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, shit, man. Since I got a bad stomach, it don't bother me so much. I think my ulcerative colitis helps keep my weight down. I don't think it's a good thing, but it is what it is.
It keeps you from going crazy.
Because otherwise I'll just eat too much.
he's got natural semaglutide going on.
Natural semaglutide makes you sick. Huh? Shit. That's a wild thing, huh? Everybody's shooting up with this.
Everybody's
fucking over. Diabetes drug. Try to get skinny.
Really? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, man.
A lot of people are doing
drop weight. It kills your appetite, and people drop weight without changing anything else.
You also lose a lot of bone mass.
I believe you got to lose muscle tissue, with it.
Yeah, because
you're just not taking in nutrition, so the body's going
to
waste.
Yeah, Peter Attia, who's a friend of mine who's a doctor, he said he won't prescribe it to anybody unless they're weight training. Like, you have to be weight training while you're doing it, because you're losing. Because when you're doing it, they show that people are losing weight but gaining fat, so they're at a higher percentage of body fat,
right,
even though their body was losing weight. So they're literally like rotting out from the starving.
It's like
to
a
death.
Crack diet.
Skinny fat's the worst.
It's starving to death. When you're starving to death, when you're not eating enough, what happens? Your body starts to eat itself and you get smaller.
Yeah, that's how I used to cut weight for fights.
Really?
Back in the day, yeah.
God.
I mean, that was, you know what I'm saying? Like, now they do it all scientifically. Like, you know, with you have the PI and all that.
Right.
They got, everybody got a nutritionist. But back in the day, that's how I used to cut.
How did you learn how to do it? From wrestlers? Where'd you learn how to do it?
Just,
from?
Like,
figured it out.
Man. Wow. I was like, I got to be 145 pounds. I got
to. How much did you have to cut?
I would do 20 pounds like that, just not eating.
Wow.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing my first time. That's probably why I tore my bicep. Because I was getting dehydrated, and I was sparring, and I hit the guy wide, and it went right up.
That was like, what is it, the Lanny fight, I think?
Yeah, it was the Lanny fight, yeah. And I remember I showed up for that.
Yeah,
that,
with it torn.
Yeah, I was fucked up, but I strangled him. But but I remember being there and just not eating and people not looking at me good. I should give a major shout out to, you remember Gil Castillo?
Yeah.
He was a good guy. Cesar Gracie, Cesar black
Gracie,
belt.
Yep.
A buddy of mine.
Remember he had that wrestling match, a jiu-jitsu match with a giant football
player from the Buccaneers,
that's right.
I think.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I was there for that. I was in the room for that.
That was wild to see.
That might have been exactly this time. Yeah. Matter of fact.
Good advertisement.
Because I was there when that happened.
Yeah. I think it was that time.
See if you can find that.
He's funny, man. Because he was there for a couple of my fights. He was in my corner for that Delonte fight. But he goes, dude, what are you doing? And I told him, I got to make 155, and I'm 160. He goes, dude, you're there. What are you talking about? He's like, eat. He made me eat. I wasn't eating. So he actually, I didn't know what the fuck to do. I didn't wrestle. I wrestled like a season, and then I didn't get along with the coaches. So fucking.
Really?
Yeah. So fucking. So he got me eating. He goes, you could fucking eat. He goes, and then thank goodness for him, because I don't know what would happen. And then I fucked myself up, because after that fight on the plane home, I don't know if I, because I did something wrong with the thing. I remember getting the chills. I was like ill. After, I don't know if it had anything to do with the way I cut the weight, but I remember I got like I caught something from that. So I was like home just shivering after that.
That's what's crazy. Like, there's a lot of guys who cut weight and get sick.
Yeah.
They get sick like that night.
It happens.
Because your immune system's so crushed.
Yeah. I was fucked up.
You see it a lot. Like, a lot of times at UFC, guys are throwing up. Like,
Yeah. The weird thing is when they black out.
Yeah.
And you got to tell them, hey, man.
Yeah, it's not it.
Not today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so scary that they get on death's door. But is there a way around that? Like, how is one doing it? Do you think they're doing it effectively?
I think so. I'm not a big weight cutting guy.
I am not either.
I don't really like it. I think you should just fight at higher weights. If you're struggling to make a weight, you need to go up.
Don't you think they should have more weight classes?
And they can have more weight classes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a tweener. I was small for 170, kind of. I really was. And 155 was a fucking bitch to get to,
especially,
man.
Now when you see guys like Hamza that make 170, like, how the fuck?
I just had Mike Milan on my show the other day. He's on New York.
Huge.
This guy's 6'1".
He's huge.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm 5'6", man.
Yeah, these guys at that weight class, at 170, these are 200-pound guys. It's like Kamaru.
Right.
I mean, you can't be small for that weight class with a guy like Kamaru. But if we had every 10 pounds, I think it evens it out better.
Yeah.
I think 55, 65, 75, 85, 95, 205, maybe 225, and then heavyweight. And I don't think heavyweight should be 265. I think that's ridiculous. I think heavyweight should be, what the fuck do you weigh?
Get on
there. 318 pounds.
Hell yeah.
Like, who's that giant Russian cat? What was his name? Valuev. Remember that guy? He was a legitimate giant. He was like 7 feet tall.
Hmm.
I think Holyfield beat him. Oh, the boxer, I was thinking MMA fighter, remember that guy, that guy is a legit giant.
Yeah,
he was fucking huge.
The picture in the suit on the right,
look,
look at something out of fucking James Bond.
David Haye, see if you can find, did Valuev fight Evander Holyfield? Is that, I don't remember who won that
Where
fight.
Is Mr. David Bond? Haye. Put an eye patch on that motherfucker. He's a villain from the fucking...
He was...
He should have. He missed his calling.
Yeah, he was a legitimate giant.
Yeah, Holyfield.
Yep, there it is. Who won there?
If he was 100 pounds heavier than Holyfield.
He weighed 310 pounds, and Valuev won a widely disputed majority decision. That's right.
And
a,
that's crazy.
That's right. Most people thought that Evander should have won.
Evander
was
46.
Oh, the WBA had to investigate the decision. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, a lot of dirty shit in boxing.
Yeah.
Ooh, dirty, dirty, dirty.
What about when Vitor went versus him and, like, I mean, I like Vitor, you know? And afterwards, he's acting like he beat Holyfield in his prime. Yeah. He just beat a fucking 60-year-old, dude. Calm the fuck down.
Who took the fight on short notice, right?
But also, Holyfield, if he knocked him out, he would be celebrating.
Yeah.
Who would?
It's still a fight. If Holyfield knocked out Vitor, he'd be celebrating.
Yeah, because he's fighting a youngster, and he's fucking 60. I would be fucking doing cartwheels.
It is. You're right. You're right. But also, you know, it is a fight.
It is a fight, but he's fighting a 60-year-old.
Right. Yeah. But if Holyfield could have caught him and knocked him out, he would have knocked Vitor out, and he would have celebrated. I mean, I know what you're saying.
No, but
it was
rightfully
sad to watch.
So. This
it
would be
sad.
More like
he didn't have his legs. He was just stumbling around. It was wild.
Yeah. And, you know, Vitor's in his 40s and on all the Mexican supplements.
Guessed.
But that's when I knew we were living in a parallel universe, is when Donald Trump was like the commentator for that.
Yeah, was that? Yeah. Did he really do commentary?
Well, I don't know if it was commentary, but he was somewhere on a broadcasting of Vitor Belfort, Evander Holyfield boxing match.
Vitor looked good back on the saucy, baby.
Yeah, he got that fucking. I don't think you saw
it. It was an amazing fight.
Yeah.
They fought as I would.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be pissed too if I was Michael Bisping. You know?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that the Jesus? Yeah. He lost the eye to that?
Yeah. That head kick.
I'd be pretty fucking bitter, too.
But TRT Belfort was a fucking thing to behold.
I know. In fucking traps.
He was
fucking
a thing to behold, man. Luke Rockhold said when he saw him when they were at the weigh-in, he was like, what the fuck is this guy on? Woo! He was, because he had all the age and wisdom and experience, but then he had a body that moved like a super athlete.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Right.
Remember with Rockhold, he's throwing wheel kicks and shit? Yeah, the difference between USADA and no USADA. That's a crazy difference. Crazy. Because
Overeem.
Yeah. Well, the worst was when he fought Weidman, because when he fought Weidman, he was right off of it.
Right.
And Weidman fucking crushed, smashed.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was so obvious.
It was a big. See if you can find that. Yeah, Overeem's
Holy
lost.
Shit.
Overeem's doing triathlons.
What am I looking at here? Is this
That's
recent?
Overeem. Yeah, recent.
Look at his face.
Yeah. Maybe he's going down to 205. I don't know. What did I ask you to find? No. Shit.
Can't reply. No review.
God damn it. What the hell? What
damn. Overeem's face?
Yeah.
Damn.
Vitor versus Chris Weidman. Find that. Because that was when. Also, it's not fair to make him do that. Hey, you want to fight for a title? Go to cold turkey off TRT. Your body's been living off of for years.
Yeah.
And now your body's not producing testosterone correctly anymore. And then fight the world champion, Chris Weidman, who's natural and a fucking monster. Like, he just looked way different, like, physically.
So
like, look at
softer.
Him. Look at him. Like, look at him when he's walking around. I mean, it's crazy, the difference. It's really not. It was not fair for Vitor. I mean, I know he probably took it because he wanted to fight for the title, but there's no way your body is working at an optimum state after all those years of being on that. It's just, there's no way.
He's not making any friends with that haircut either. Okay,
right. Well, he used to love that haircut. That was his go-to-war haircut. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I mean, didn't he have that haircut when he fought Bisping? Close to it?
He should go to the barber with that haircut. Probably fixed. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Wild scrambles. It still was a good fight. No. Still was a good fight until Weidman got him down. Look, Vitor's a talented guy, man.
Oh,
look at this.
Very talented.
Look at this. I mean, he's going for broke against Weidman, which is very dangerous. Because if you gas out, this motherfucker never does. And so then Chris got him down.
Yeah, he gets mounted on him. Yeah, he gets mounted. It's a problem.
Yeah, well, Vitor, like, clearly fatigued. Like, he ran out of gas in that fight. And that's just... if your body's not making testosterone, there's no way you can sustain, like, the way he did at his prime.
But that's the way you take that fight anyway, really. Like, if you know you're taking on short notice, you just go for broke, and then when you gas out, you just quit.
It is what it is.
I guess. Okay. But he didn't just gas out. He got the fuck beat out of him.
At this point,
I would just quit.
When you had TRT Vitor, then what do we call Vitor when he came on the scene and he was, like, 225 jacked?
Oh, that was everything.
You know what
well,
I mean?
The first fight, he was like 200. Like when he fought
when
he Tank.
What about when he beat Vanderlei? How crazy was that?
Well, what was crazy was when he got up to fight Randy Couture. So the Randy Couture, he's like 240.
Yeah.
He was giant. His trap started at the top of his head. It just went straight down.
Yeah, it was nuts.
But he gassed out in that fight. Like, Randy was fucking in his prime back then. And Randy was so solid. And see if you could find like what Vitor looked like. He was super jacked. He looked like a lion.
I think they're making another Expendables movie. Is that right?
Are they?
I swear to God.
Why not? They have like 85 Fast and the Furious.
I think they are. I think 50 Cent's going to be in it too, I think.
I think Dolph Lundgren's in it too, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he looked like. Is that the Randy Couture fight? See if you can find. Well, yeah. Is that the fight?
Down here it says Vitor cuts Randy Couture from the UFC light heavyweight title.
No. That was the second time they fought. That was at 205. In that fight, he actually cut Randy. He cut his eyelid.
Oh yeah, I remember. It was like in the first like 10 seconds, right?
Yeah, that's how Vitor won the title, and then Randy came back and beat him. So that's the second fight.
Yeah.
There was it was back when they were wearing shoes. That's it. Up in the upper right hand corner of the small photos, right there. That's it. So that's Vitor. That's the first time they fought because Randy was wearing shoes.
Right.
Three.
He's wearing shoes. Three.
What year was that?
That's Vitor 3.
Yeah, but that's definitely not. That's definitely the first fight, 100%, because that's the him wearing shoes.
On.
Yeah, he was fucking jacked.
I remember that.
He was hanging out with this dude that was like his weightlifting coach.
That bodybuilder dude?
The Brazilian guy. We used to call that dude Garden Hoses.
He had some cable veins.
They were like
down
garden
his arms,
hoses
right?
down his arms. It was crazy. And the guy he was hanging with, I don't think he was a Brazilian guy. He was an American guy. I think he wound up dying of a heart attack.
Oh, that guy was
pretty
American?
Sure. The guy was purple.
Yeah,
he was purple.
Yeah, he really was.
It was like this.
Yeah,
the guy was so
big. He looked like he was flexing
big.
All the time.
He was so big, it was preposterous. And you're like, that's Vitor's weightlifting coach. Well, he definitely has a connection.
Yeah. when he beat Vanderlei Silva, and
no, that's Anderson's guy. That's when Anderson got. Click on that guy though. When Anderson got popped, that was his guy.
Good Lord.
And I think homeboy was like 60. In this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to see him around all the time.
Yeah, that guy is swole. That was when Anderson got popped. Vitor's guy, I don't think there's photos of him, because we're talking about like the 90s. It was like 97, 98 back in the
I remember
days.
That guy.
Yeah.
Purple.
Purple. Yeah, I don't think he lived very long, man. I think he was like riding the lightning. He wasn't getting no blood work done.
No.
He was stuffing that bag. Let's go.
I know what blood work was back then.
I mean, a few guys probably did. It's a crazy thing when you think about the early days of the UFC, because what you were talking about pre-USADA and post-USADA, you know, you guys fought clean, but what percentage didn't?
Oh, who knows? That's what I'm saying, man. I wonder how many guys I fought that were fucking pissing dirty.
Probably almost everybody.
I mean, if it was kind of an intel. That's the dude. How'd you find that, Jamie?
Oh, my God.
You son of a bitch.
Curtis Leflin.
Jamie's the best. That's the dude. Look at his fucking veins, man.
Dude,
those veins are crazy. How did he die?
He was a strong man.
Oh, he was a strong man first?
And those guys.
That guy had
all
the most
young.
Crazy veins. How did he die? Did it say?
I'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, so that was a dude who was training Vitor. He was always with him.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, they had, like, a different idea of, like, strength training back
he's
then.
He was 36 when he died.
He was only 36.
36?
Good Lord.
What did he die of?
Heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder where that came from.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. I never even did heavyweights at all when I was fighting at all. I did more, like, Longo would just put me through the calisthenics and plyometrics and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would get too tight.
Yeah, the functional training is the way to go.
Do kettlebells or anything with weights, lighter weights?
Towards the end, we started messing with some kettlebell stuff, but not too much.
Plyometrics?
No. plyometrics a lot. Yeah. Look, I still do stuff like that now. I even did, like, there's times where if I, like, I work out now, like, something to keep me just from, like, just keep me in shape. Like, after jiu-jitsu, I'll do me and my buddy. Just I did this right before I got on the plane. I did, I'll do 20 push-ups, and he puts his fist on, I put my fist under him. He had to touch the fist. So that way you're not cheating. He does 20, 15, 15, 10, 10, 5, 5, and then back up. 5, 5, 10, 10. It ends up being 100 push-ups. So instead of doing 100 push-ups straight, it's not, that could be annoying and fucking whatever. This way, but when you're coming back up to the last 20, it's annoying. It's it's enough to make you say, fuck you. And then if I'm doing it by myself, I'll do 20 turnover, 20 squat, 20 sit-ups, 50. I do it that way. And again, this is not the whole workout, but this is what I do after my jiu-jitsu training. So it's how many push-ups I get a week in. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
That's how I warm up from the cold plunge. I do 100 bodyweight squats and 100 push-ups. That's my warm-up.
How do you
do sets of five. So I get out of the cold. I start with a cold because there was some study done. I think it was a Japanese study about elevating your testosterone and also increasing your ability to do work. Because your body's like, you kill all the inflammation very quickly in the beginning, and then you warm your body up. So some guys like to do it on the, they like to get on the echo bike. But I find like bodyweight squats and push-ups, it's like I have to do them anyway. I do 100 every day anyway, so that's a good way to warm up. Yeah. So by the time I do 5 sets of 20, everything's warmed up, and then I could do other shit.
See, the cold plunge, I could, my ears suck, man. If I go under the water,
you don't
water
have to go under
all
the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't go into the water. I dunk my head sometimes under the water.
Now, how long did it take you before you were able to do that? Because I just, I
can't. The first one, there's a video of me, dude. I bitched out in like a minute and 20 seconds.
Oh, did
you? I couldn't even do it. I mean, I couldn't do 20 seconds.
It was so cold. But then I realized I'm just freaking out and just relax and do breathing exercise. So the next time I did it, I did like 4.5. And then I wanted to see how long I could do it. And the next time I did it, I did 20 minutes. And don't do that. Don't do that.
What are you? 20 minutes is too much.
I was fucked up for a few days.
Oh, yeah, wow. I can imagine.
Yeah, I was fucked up for a few days. That wasn't so good for you.
Yeah.
I was dry. It was in 90-degree weather. I drove from my house to here with the windows rolled up, no AC on, and I was freezing. So I'm in a hot box.
Yeah.
I mean, I put the seat heater on in my truck. I was freezing.
Yeah.
And it was 90 degrees outside, and the windows were rolled up, and I had no AC on. That's how cold I was.
What were you thinking? That maybe just longer the better?
I just went to 5 minutes, and I said, let's see if I can go to 10. Oh, then I went to 10 minutes, and I said, I think I can make 15. Then I got to 15. I'm like, 20 is only 5 minutes away. The next thing I know, I got to 20. When I got out, and I did the whole thing on Instagram so I could film it. So I wanted to make sure that I was really doing it.
Yeah.
But when I got out, I was like, that was not a good idea. I do not recommend that. It's like hypothermia. It's like 15 minutes or something like that. And it's 34 degrees. But I'm doing these breathing exercises while I'm doing it. And that keeps your core heated up at least a little bit.
You know how they always say that, you know, they always like contradict themselves. One second this thing's good for you, the next second it's bad for you. What if you're really killing yourself right now? What if they find out that this ice thing killed off the fucking caveman? It's like, I mean, I don't know.
20
man.
Minutes is definitely not good for you, and it probably harms you. But doing it 3 minutes at a time, it ramps up your dopamine by 200%. It lasts for hours. It reduces inflammation. And for me, I just get excited. When I get out of there, I just feel great. And I'll do like, I'll warm up out in the sun. So I'm freeze. I get out, I towel myself off, and then I'll do all my warm up shit out in the sun. I'll do my push ups and my bodyweight squats out in the sun. Get the sunlight, feel good, you know, get a little bit of a sweat going by the end of 100, and then I start working out.
You don't got that shit in New York, though. You fucking jump out, it's still fucking cold.
All day in the summer.
You're sitting there miserable.
Try it in the summer, try it now. But it's not for everybody. But for me, it feels good. I like it.
Dana's
it's a good
doing
way to get it
you
going.
Know, Dana likes
it feels
it
fucking good, man.
It you just, have is it indoors or
no,
outdoors?
No, it's outdoors. Yours? Outdoors, yeah. And I got a barrel sauna right next to it, so I'll hop in that motherfucker after my workouts.
Let me ask you, man, because I start my day with a nice steam. I love the steam shower.
That's good, too.
But why is it not as good as the sauna?
Doesn't get as hot. So the thing is, it's all about heat shock proteins. It's all about your body responding to the fact that it's dying. You're in an extreme situation where your body's like, holy fuck. So your body starts producing all these cytokines, all these anti-inflammatory heat shock proteins. And the study they did out of Finland, they did a study where they studied people over 20 years. How many people were in that study? Find out how many people were in that Finland study. So after 20 years, they found out the people that did it 4 times per week, they had a 40% decrease of all-cause mortality. Everything. 40% decrease in heart attack, stroke, cancer, everything. And this was, they did think, directly connected to these heat shock proteins and the use of the sauna on a regular basis, 4 times a week, 20 minutes at a time. So 2,300 middle-aged men for an average of 20 years. They categorized the men into 3 groups according to how often they used the sauna each week. The men spent an average of 14 minutes per visit baking in 175 degrees heat. Fahrenheit. Over the course of the study, 49% of the men who went to the sauna once a week died, compared to 38% of the ones who went 2 to 3 times a week, and just 31% of those who went 4 to 7 times a week. Frequent visits to a sauna were associated with lower death rates from cardiovascular disease and stroke. And the results don't surprise Dr. Thomas H. Lee, cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital and founding editor of the Harvard Heart Letter. The cardiovascular effects of sauna have been well documented in the past. It lowers blood pressure, and there is every reason to believe that its effects are good for blood vessels. So it's good for a lot of different shit. And it also, you just feel better.
Well, being in the sauna.
You feel better when you get out. You just feel better.
I mean, I feel like that with my steam.
He said the results aren't applicable to steam baths and hot tubs. Finished saunas are wood-lined rooms, specifically heated to a stove topped with stones. Air inside the sauna is very hot and dry. All the sauna bathers periodically add water to the stones to produce a vapor known as loily. How about just steam, you fucking weirdos? Let's use the words we know.
Yeah, right? Yeah. What's that all about?
They produce something called loily. Oh, you mean steam?
Yeah.
But they throw, like, eucalyptus oil in there and shit and throw it on the rocks. But the key is, like, you do it, it increases your cardio. Like, Dan Gable talked about how he figured it out from wrestlers. Like, the Eastern European guys were using it.
Mm.
And they realized it was an integral part of their training to do sauna afterwards. And it's also like static cardio. So if I do a hard workout, like say if I do like rounds in the bag, I'll go straight into the sauna. My heart is already, you know, 120 something beats per second after I get the gloves off, and I sit in there, and it just is 185 degrees, and your heart rate gets back to 147, and just stays there when you're just sitting there. You're sitting there suffering. So you do that for 20 minutes. It's like 20 minutes of cardio, but also all the heat shock benefits. And when you come out of there, you feel fucking great. You just feel, ooh.
So wait a minute. It's so in the morning, you should do the cold stuff, and then like in the afternoon, do the sauna.
The way I do it, it depends on how much time I have. I like to do the sauna before I go to bed. That's my favorite way because it makes me sleep good. But I also like to do it at the end of a hard workout. So I'll do the cold to start my workout. That's the first thing I do. And then I have to heat my body back up until I can really work out. Then I work out. And then when I'm done working out, then when I'm all sweaty, then I hop in the sauna.
Ah.
I mean, it makes sense because if you do the cold after, it kind of defeats the purpose of the workout.
Yes. It definitely for hypertrophy. But for people who do cardio, especially like if you're doing like hard jiu-jitsu, maybe a good move to do it afterwards. You could train more. I know a lot of guys do that with cryo. They like to do cryo. Like Eddie Bravo said when he had that rematch with Hoyler Gracie, like he said, there's no way I would have been able to train like that without cryo. He goes, he was just doing cryo sessions after every workout.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's where you wear the mittens? And you
you freeze your dick off like 250 degrees below zero for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not built for that either.
It's
rough.
Just
want to do steroids. That's all I want to do. If I just get some steroids, I'm good to go.
You're not on TRT?
No.
Why not?
I need to. I don't know. I just don't feel. I don't feel like paying for it.
It's your health, though. It's money well spent.
I know. Eventually, I will.
When you guys are here, I got to get you to Ways to Well. Get you into Ways to Well to do like an extensive blood panel on you and find out what your nutrient levels are. They're very comprehensive, and like that's why I wanted to know if you got like real good blood work done. Yeah. They'll give you like a booklet of all. They'll do an analysis of your blood work and all the different things they test for. They test for a lot of shit.
Yep.
They can pull out a lot of blood.
Yeah, I got a buddy at home, same type of spot, and they do this. They're actually doing where was meeting with your buddy. That's the guy I texted
Brigham.
You about.
Yep. Yeah, Brigham's the man.
And they, you know, they do a very similar thing. It's. I mean, definitely you should do it.
I know.
It's good to know. It's good to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what's low. I was low in DHEA, and I was also fucked up. I didn't realize how dehydrated I got from the sauna. Because one time I went straight there to get my blood drawn after the sauna, and they're like, "Bro, you're fucking dehydrated." Like,
yeah, you probably
bad.
Drink a lot of water.
Oh, I drink a shitload of water.
Yeah,
I drink a shit. But after that, I doubled and tripled up to the point where it was a problem during podcasts. I'd have to piss like so often.
Yeah.
I'd have to run up.
I'll lend you a piss jug.
Master's piss jug.
I think I got one lying around the house.
You should sell that on eBay. It's probably worth money. Yeah. Right? It was like one of them Arrowhead jugs.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's awesome.
You know what's funny? I had a habit of doing that forever. So I kept doing it when I was married. I'd turn over. So one time, so finally,
Jesus.
Finally, my wife's like, look.
What's wrong with
you? Get out of the bucket and piss next to the bed.
Unbelievable.
My wife, after a little bit, she goes, look, this has to stop.
It's not happening.
Oh, my God.
My mother-in-law was over cleaning like with my wife. And she's like, I got to this. That's not Snapple. Put that down.
Oh my God.
My mother-in-law had my Snapple bottle full of piss.
Oh, no.
My wife's got me civilized.
Oh, no.
I'm not an animal.
I told you she's been good for you.
No, no. My wife, she, like Ray Longo said, she raised my stock. I'm not an animal anymore. So now
I need
a
woman
up.
Like that, right? For a guy like you?
The right girl will bring you up. The wrong one will ruin you.
100%. 100%. 100%. And I guess women will say that about men, too.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
No, she did that for me.
And it's the right one. It's not the right one for everybody.
Yeah, right? You know? Yeah.
That's
gotta
the thing.
You got to find that chemistry.
Yeah, you got to find yours.
And don't settle.
Yeah.
Don't you fucking settle. 100%. Keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep moving. Throw that phone in the lake and keep moving.
That's hysterical.
You got to know when to abandon ship.
Yeah.
Abandon ship and light the boats on fire.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Let's go.
No, 100%, man. Yeah. I dodged some bullets, too.
Oh, my God. We all have, right?
You think about some paths you could have went down, and you're like, fuck, man.
All sorts of ways in life.
That could have been the mother of my kids. Holy fuck.
Also, other things. Just think about fights. Just think about street fights you got in when you were a kid. How many people do you know that got in street fights where somebody could have died, and then all of a sudden you're in jail?
Yeah, no shit. Doing dumb shit.
You remember Kevin James? Kevin James worked as a bouncer with this guy in Long Island, and this guy knocked some guy out. And the guy fell just like hit fucking Steve-O. Hit his head. Dead.
Dead.
Guy winds up. With a rat, I mean, he goes to jail. Crazy. Happens all the time.
Amen.
See, Matt, that's why I be keeping you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Every time we go up, Matt almost gets
I don't look for trouble, obviously.
Well, if they see your nails, they're like,
this nails. You gotta fuck off with that. Why are you making it like I'm a fucking. People are gonna. This is what everybody's gonna take out of this. And you're like, hey, fuck face, look at your nails. They're all long, though. I noticed it this morning. You know? But
I love that you're still rolling, though, even with your knee replacement.
Oh, the knee feels good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I was worried, because when you hear about people getting knee replacements, I don't really hear too much about jiu-jitsu guys doing that.
I was concerned, man. And when me and you did the episode when you had to catch the ball and I was sitting out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, in Denver.
And we were looking for a fight. And in that episode, the reason why I put off the knee so long, my knee surgery.
Is this the same knee that you had injured when you said you tore your meniscus before the Caro fight?
My meniscus? No, I think it's the other knee. Believe it or not, yeah.
Wow.
I was supposed to get both my knees done, but I'm not getting the other one done right away because, you know, I could walk. It passed the test of, for years, when I'd go to the Disney and Universal, I'd have to get a motorized cart, you know? I made it fun. I took some edibles and I'm mipping around. But, you know, I had to make the best of it. I couldn't walk through the park. So the last time we went with my family, I'm like, yo, this is... I know it sounds simple, but I'm like, yo, this is fucking great. I'm walking with my kids. I got a drumstick now. Now I don't feel like a fatty with the big drumstick. Now I'm walking around with it.
No pain.
I could walk with my knee. No pain at all. No,
that's
I'm good.
That's amazing.
But
Does it feel like you, or does it feel like something moving with you?
It feels fine. I mean,
feels normal.
Like I feel because it's titanium. If someone went to kick me, I could use that to fucking block it.
He told me that yesterday.
I even asked him. I go, let's say if someone went to kick me. I asked the doctor, I go, would it be able to get kicked out? They go, no, that shit's cemented in there. That's not going to fucking happen. It's like
And they told you no restrictions on any movements or anything?
Well, before I went in, he said that it's like an 80% chance that you'll be able to do everything you want to do. I guess they don't want to maybe get your hopes up too high.
Right. And you're different than most people, too, though. Yeah, and 100%. Most people that get knee replacements are not elite athletes.
But you know what the problem is? I think they told me that most people, when they go into my Dr. Amato, great guy. He's a jiu-jitsu guy. He was my PT guy. I'd like to give him a shout out because he got me back. And I felt good, comfortable with him because he was reassuring me. Being a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, he said he knew what I had to do. He goes, you'll be able to do everything. Fucking everything. And he's right. I'm able to do everything. He goes, Matt, the problem is when you, they do these, like, whatever, you ask people about, are they able to move their knee the way they were before? A lot of times when they go into the surgery, they can't bend that shit. Right. So I was already flexible.
Right.
So I kept everything. So that's good. Like, I could touch my my knee. My
can
foot
you,
goes
can
to my
you
butt.
Do triangles with it?
Yeah, fuck yeah. No I can shit. Do triangles with it. Yeah, I can
and
do triangles.
They told you, like, essentially it's permanent? Like, is it for the rest of your life? Like, how long does it last?
I think the thing was the shelf life was, what, about the 30 years? Something like that? 20 to 30 or something like that?
And then what happens?
I think we got to get a new one by then. I don't know. I didn't really ask about that. But what happened was,
do they even
like,
know?
With my other... Like, you could see behind this, I was getting big. Oh, by the way, you like my socks? It's my family. It's, I love you, Daddy. You're my socks. Sorry. But what I was getting was, that's called a Baker's cyst.
Oh,
this is my
wow.
This is my knee that I didn't get done yet.
Holy shit, that's
so what
huge.
Happened is, when you have bone on bone,
mm-hmm.
it gets, like, inflammation and fluid, and it ends up going to the back of the knee.
Mm-hmm.
So you see this thing?
Yeah.
That thing's all fluid. I have to get that drained, that bitch. And
how often do you get it drained?
Like, it's, you're supposed to, they don't want you to do it too often because they put in a, like, a, what is it, cortisone?
Cortisone, yeah.
And
probably.
They say that'll fuck up the knee, but I gotta have to get a new knee anyway. So I don't give a fuck. So shoot it up. But, but what happens is it blows back up soon. You know what I mean? I would try to keep a tight sleeve on it, but it would just fill back up. They try to shoot it with the cortisone so it doesn't come back, but it comes back. So I got that thing drained several times.
So
I mean,
eventually you're going to have to get that one.
Eventually
done
I will. But until I can't walk, I'm walking normal. You see
what
I
mean?
Yeah. You know what it was like
before. Bisping's walking normal. But I think Bisping is
he's
still...
He's got both of his done.
Yeah, he had both of his done. But I think they bother him sometimes. I think... Like, he's standing too long, I think it bothers him.
But he's still, like, he's training, and all that good stuff.
He
so, like,
still
yeah,
kicks the bags and stuff with it.
Yeah, yeah. Seen good him with the, kick the bag.
The only thing I fucked up with, and I told you that earlier off air, is that I tore my quad, and that's a little annoying. Because sometimes it'll dip. Like, I'll just fall. So I did it in the kitchen the other day. My wife said, what the fuck? Like, because it, like 20% of it, like, in the front of it. So, like, it'll, like, if I bend my knee, it'll continue to bend. So I just got to be alert of that. I fucked up. You're supposed to step down with your bad leg off regular steps. I did it from too high off a couch because I went to do those short jokes, you cocksucker.
I was getting ready. You motherfucker. You stopped me right on time.
I saw it coming out of your mouth. So I had to reach something. So when I went to step down, I did it with my bad leg, and it fucking ripped.
Oh,
boom, damn. Straight down. I just fucking, damn. So
and you didn't? Was there an option to get it surgically reattached?
Well, I went to my PT guy, and he goes, "Oh, you tore that thing." Because I was on meds, I was on the pain stuff. I don't know what the fuck I was on, but so maybe it helped with the pain, but it was fucking painful. And then I noticed that I didn't know it was deformed. I didn't know what the fuck I did. And then he looked. He goes, "Look, man." He goes, like, if there's like 100 fibers in your leg, you tore like 20% of them or something. So it's kind of like what I did to my bicep. But, you know, it is what it is. I fucked that up. I can't go back in time and fix it. And,
could they have if you did it right away?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Have you ever heard of that?
They
I never heard of
it. I know they can do that with your bicep.
No. I mean, I had a buddy that had his quad detached, and they reattached it. And
I heard of a dude who got his quad detached from a leg kick.
This
the
guy
leg kick
did
was
it.
So
oh my
severe.
God.
This leg kick was so severe that it sliced the quad.
God damn. Yeah, this dude did it shooting on somebody.
Ooh. I don't think, but again,
fortunately, he was on a mat. You know, at least he could have happened squatting or riding. He was he's an avid
how many of those
like, bike
videos
rider
have you seen
too.
Where guys' legs explode while they're doing deep squats.
I know. Oh.
Man, I don't like that shit.
Oh, it drives me nuts, man.
The weight training, I got too much ADD for that. I'm afraid I'll, like, you know what I mean? Like, I could zone out in my jiu-jitsu and whatever.
Right.
And I really think my ADD helped my fighting. It kept me in the moment. I swear to God. Like, I don't know. But. I could fucking start daydreaming and I'm gonna fucking break a leg or something. I don't like the heavy weights.
Yeah,
I get
nah, fuck
I
that.
I don't like that shit.
Fuck that.
Yeah, people didn't believe. I used to tell him. I go, he don't even lift. I said he does more, plyometric gymnastic type stuff.
But think about like those guys that first of all look at the guys who do the rings in the Olympics. They're the most jacked.
Oh
guys.
Hell yeah, hell
these
yeah.
Guys are
they
jacked.
Have little,
tiny little legs though.
But super jacked arms, man. When they do that shit. I mean, those
balance
guys.
Balance and everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, calisthenics. If you look at those Bar Stars guys, those guys who do those playground workouts.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh
yeah,
my
for
God.
Sure.
They're crazy so jacked. Stuff. Like, look at these guys. the fucking build on these motherfuckers.
The core strength is ridiculous.
Insane.
Too.
You teach that guy to do jiu-jitsu?
Yeah,
holy
I always
fuck,
said
man.
That. I said, if these
look
gymnasts
at that guy.
Learn jiu-jitsu,
look
it's
at that
be
fucking
bad.
Dude.
And he's in his pajamas.
Yeah. Pointing his toes.
He got a onesie on. Yeah. Right?
Sexy. God, I know. Any sport you do with your socks only on, it's kind of ridiculous.
That's
look
crazy.
At the fucking. Go back to that photo again, real quick, please. Look at the fucking build on that dude. My Jesus, Louises. Look at that thing. That's crazy. That's a ridiculous kind of power to do that cross.
1,000%.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so think about, like, those – go to those Bar Stars guys because there's these dudes who do – and, you know, there's guys – some of these guys are, like, in their 60s that are doing these workouts. There's this one Russian cat who does these on Instagram, and he's like, 58 years old, and he does all these wild playground workouts. He must have been, like, at one point in time, must have been some, you know – Russian Olympic rings guy or something like that, or some look at these fucking guys. I mean, God, look at the build on these fucking guys. All yeah. calisthenics. You can get a crazy build with calisthenics. You just got to be willing to do some evil shit to yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, this is evil. That's so hard. But it's an interesting sort of like test case on strength and conditioning programs.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do that, like, what you in the gym for?
Yeah. Right. But the thing is, it's like, how much would that help your jiu-jitsu? A lot.
Oh, I think that's probably even more because it's like so many different movements all at once.
Yeah, look at these guys. I mean, this is
just
crazy.
The core strength, the stabilizers.
That's crazy. What is it called? Hannibal forking chin-ups?
His name is Hannibal.
Oh, okay. Royal. Oh, it's Royal pull-ups, it's called.
How the fuck does he get down?
Look at this. It's crazy. Oh, that's us talking about how awesome they are. I'm so impressed with people that could do that. It's like that's a long road to get that good.
Dude, you know? George, he does that stuff all the time. Pretty amazing.
St. Pierre?
Yeah.
He's smart. He figured it out. I mean, he's like gymnastics. Like,
that's funny. Yeah. You're calling me a geek every now and then. What I get with George, I get a text from him. No words, no nothing. It's the latest Ahsoka trailer. The latest Star Wars trailer. Yeah. He's into the Star Wars. He's a bigger Star Wars nerd than me. He's talking to me about the cartoons and everything.
My brother Jamie's big into Star Wars.
Yeah.
He knows
them all. The Mandalorian was fun.
George is big into UFOs, too.
Oh, yeah. Is
he? About UFOs? Yes. Very interesting.
So what about that UFO or the little... alien it was in Vegas
the Vegas
weeks
thing.
Not is that real or what?
It was like 8 foot tall, nine foot tall.
Hold on. What do you think?
Most likely not a true story.
Yeah,
most likely. But right. Might be. So here's the thing. If an alien spacecraft did land in your backyard and a 10-foot dude got out and you see him and you don't get your phone up in time because you're mesmerized and it just whoosh, takes off, like, what happened?
Yeah.
Is that real? Okay. Even if it is real. Are you going to tell people? Even if you tell people, no one's going to believe you, so you're stuck in this spot. Unless you have video evidence of it, I don't know.
Right.
But I do know that George Knapp, who's like he's like the most prominent investigative reporter in Las Vegas for UFOs. He's the guy that broke the Bob Lazar case back in the late 1980s. That was the guy who claimed to have back-engineered UFOs, and it's a very interesting story. But anyway, he went to visit these people. They made an appointment, like on I think it was two different occasions. When he went to their house, they didn't answer the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but it also could be they don't want the smoke. They don't want that attention. Imagine you're just a regular person.
Right.
You're not making any money from this. All of a sudden, everyone's calling you a liar.
Yeah.
And then everyone knows where your house is. And then people coming by, show me the backyard. Show me the backyard.
True.
I mean, it probably would have freaked them out. I mean, there's probably a lot going on.
On the subject, behind you, because I can't unlook at it. Who is this individual getting summoned?
I think
it's
supposed to be me. I think it's supposed to be me getting sucked up into a spaceship.
What am I? What the hell?
Somebody
hair?
Gave me this. It's a gift. I don't think that's him.
Oh, it's headphones.
Headphones. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a Mongolian dude or something. I didn't know.
Oh, the hair is like a ponytail. Yeah.
That's what I swear to God the whole time.
Tom hairdo.
Now I get it.
I think that's supposed to be me getting sucked up into the spaceship.
Now it makes all the sense in the
world. Yeah, this was a gift by Brigham, my friend Brigham.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he gave me this when I first came here. And so it was so cool, we decided, there it is. You can see it on that image. But then we decided it was so cool, it would be cool behind me. So it looks like it belongs here.
Shit, man. And the club, you having a lot of fun with the club?
Oh, it's amazing.
That's so much fun.
Cool.
That's so wild. And you got, I just know this because I was a huge fan of the Norm MacDonald podcast with Adam Egget.
Yeah.
Now, they had such a great chemistry, too. Did you ever see
Adam's
his podcast? And he runs that show. Runs
He's
the
talent coordinator.
Yeah, and the only reason I know that name is because I was they had such. Do you guys ever see the old Norm MacDonald podcast? It was so much. This is it. That's
yeah,
so,
there it is.
It was before it went on Netflix. The Netflix one's all right, but
he's hilarious.
This was so funny. And I thought he was a very funny guy. I thought they had a great thing going.
Adam's very funny. He could be a comic if he wanted to be a comic, but he's a great talent coordinator. He's just a great dude. He's just a fun guy to have around. And
Norm MacDonald was like he was just such a funny comic.
My God, he was the best.
He was just he was the one guy that I continually just watch and not feel. Sometimes when I watch stand up comedy, I get nervous for the stand up comedian.
You don't want him to bomb.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I never got nervous with that guy.
Didn't you do it once with Adam Hunter
on the episode?
No, not with Adam Hunter.
It wasn't Adam Hunter.
He asked me to do that.
He was hosting the show, though.
No, I think you're thinking of Eve Edwards did it.
No. But Adam Hunter was actually the host.
Dana White looking for a fight, the L.A. episode. His first episode.
Yeah, my first episode.
Nick the Tooth fucking walked off the show, and we needed somebody. Dun, dun, dun! Within 24
Superman,
hours.
Yep.
Dean Thomas steps up.
Nick the Tooth thought that everybody else wasn't really getting tased or something. Was there something crazy
like
something
that? Something like that.
100%. Now, Nick the Tooth, when we were doing the show... I would get along with the Tooth. Like, he was a funny guy. He was a fun guy to hang with. He was kind of goofy, but he was funny, you know? But then you'd go back and you'd watch the episode and see him talking to the camera, saying all sorts of shit. So a couple of things happened. One, somebody told him, we all got locked hands together in one of the episodes, me, Dana, and Nick, and they had us, they tased us. So we all got fucking tased. And he was the only one being like, stop, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, no.
So he wanted to save face, I guess. And somebody told him that, oh, the way they did it, they really fucked you, man. You got more of the voltage than some bullshit, which is obvious. Dude, we all got fucked up from that. We all got. So that's one. And then another thing was him saying that we set him up with me and him doing a grappling match, which was fucking the furthest thing from the truth.
He was the one talking shit.
I remember when I first started shooting the show, I was a little chubbier, so I think he thought I was on the couch. And Nick the Tooth won some shit. He won some, like, the old man worlds and whatever
it was.
I think he just won something recently.
Yeah, he's a talented jiu-jitsu guy.
He's like, he does like the barambolos and
but
all that shit.
But back then, was he a purple belt?
He was a brown belt. He was a brown belt. So I was watching after the first episode, you know, I was watching the thing. And all of a sudden, I see him going, oh, Matt makes me look good. He's bald. He's always late. All we got to do is settle the grappling. Now, he said this on the show.
I
remember being, like, just dumbfounded. I didn't know what the hell he was thinking of. So when I see him the next time, we're on Danish Jet. We're doing the fucking Alaska episode. I go, dude, what the fuck was that? Settle what? So, and he was right along with it. He's like, yeah, we got the Tooth now and this and that. Because I'm like, dude, I went with the best in the world. What the fuck are you talking about? So, but he was gung-ho about it. Let's grapple. So we ended up doing the show, and then we were in a jiu-jitsu gym in Alaska. So I go, hey, man, fucking, now listen, if anybody had anything to lose, imagine I slip and the motherfucker gets a barambolo on me, and I would have something to lose, losing to this knucklehead. But no, of course, I had my way with him. So, you know, afterwards, Dana goofed on him a bunch, you know. But I got a text from him, right? And this is the first time I knew there was some kind of problem. Hey, Matt, you know, it was an honor, this and that. I just have to let you know that I can't let that footage be shown. That's what he said. You know, it looked bad for my instructors and this and that. I was wearing their rash guard. So I call up, I go to Dana, and I go, hey, man, I know you're friends with him. What kind of power does this guy have to say that this shit's not going to be on the fucking air? He goes, not only is that going to be fucking shown, wait till you listen to my fucking commentary. Dana goes, not only is that going to be shown.
Say, we saw
so
it for
like,
sure.
Hey, man. So I think he thought he was being set up, but it was nothing like that at all. So he was a little bit of a weird dude with that. I've seen him since and he was cool. He was a likable guy.
He's a very likable guy.
But I think he was, some guys, I think on the camera, I think they're a little insecure with how they are portrayed. Mm. But it was a weird thing because he was acting wacky, but then he's getting upset that he's being portrayed wacky. So it's like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? So then he ended up getting to like a fucking pushing match with Dana or something at a concert. I think they were at a Chili Peppers concert. And I think it was actually Joe Silva. Went up to him and asked him something like, oh, what was it like to roll with Matt? And he said, that fat fuck set me up. I go, hey, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
I go, whoa, what the fuck? I wasn't there. I heard about this. So Dana called me. I was with my wife, and she was with me. We were celebrating our anniversary in Vegas, and we were going to go from there to L.A. to shoot this episode. And then fucking Dana called me to the office, and we were like, yo, we left the show. What the fuck are we going to do? We were booked at that. Where did we do the Laugh Factory? The
Laugh Factory, yeah.
So I'm not saying yo it all to me. But there was one name that popped into my name. The first name, I go to Dane. I go, yo, what about Dean Thomas? He goes, oh, I always like, there he is.
Look at him.
Fuck yeah, Dean.
Nice. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Not bad.
Did you write your own material?
I wrote my own material.
Nice.
And then I have a whole other with Adam Hunter a few times. I've done it with Adam Hunter a few times.
I ain't gonna lie, he used the N-word as a crutch a little bit. But
well, that was only his first time. No, that was my first time.
And then he got more comfortable with it.
Look at Dana, chubby Dana. Dana's all skinny now. Isn't that wild to see?
Yeah, I know.
I was a little
chubby. Look at Matt up there, Brian Callen's in the audience.
I felt that was fun though. I'll tell you right now, I had an adrenaline. Yeah. I felt so good. I told the people in the rafters too, I'll climb up there, bite your fucking neck. I said I like the layout. I get that in you motherfuckers quick. But we had a good time, didn't we, Dean?
Yeah, wasn't that great? That was awesome.
That was so much fun, man.
Fun show you guys did.
Yeah. That was so much fun.
To watch. You guys did a lot of wild shit, right?
Yeah.
What about the shark episode? That was a
fun one. We swam with sharks. You know what's
Why
fucking
did you agree are to you, that?
You swam you know with sharks. You got in. You got out as fast
you know
as you got
fucked
in.
Up? You know what's I went back in. That you know what's hilarious. Fucked up about that? They are doing everything you're not supposed to do. They're chumming up the water. They're on their side.
What
like
the
this,
fuck?
Acting like they're seals. They're flapping acting like, up
yeah, wounded seals so that to draw the sharks out while we were in the water.
Now, look, we're in there. Now, the best is the cameramen are on the other boat, right? One of the, you know, Charlie told me after, he goes, yo. He goes, they said, some of the guys in the boat with him, they go, yeah, sooner or later, something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, these are producers. These are producers coming up with these ideas, right? Is that what it is? The chumming? That doesn't sound like
no,
ridiculous.
No. That's these guys.
The shark guys?
Hey, again, that was Florida.
What the fuck, dude?
Yo, get me the fuck in there, dude. When I looked underneath, how many people could say... There was a cage, and they go, you don't want to go in the cage. The cage hurts anybody.
Yeah, I was like, I want to go in the cage.
You don't want to go in the cage? Why?
That's what they said. They were trying to
go in the cage.
I was like, why don't you want to go in the cage?
He goes, oh, the cage hurts people. I think these guys are just.
Yeah, they were just fucking with us to get us to do it.
Listen, just because you can do something doesn't mean, and just because you could pay for an experience doesn't mean you're not going to die.
I think we found out about that recently.
Yeah, exactly. That fucking submarine thing.
That's sad.
That is so crazy. The inventor of the fucking submarine was on it when it imploded.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Whoa. The crazy thing is the guy who invented it. They knew it happened and held it back for 5 days.
Why do you think they did that, Ronald? Give me the
personally,
conspiracy. Yes.
I mean, I'm a good conspiracy theory guy. I think there's so much drama going on with the president and his son. This was something to keep the headlines for a few days, because that's right when he got indicted. I mean, pled guilty and shit.
Interesting. We are so easily distracted.
Yeah, right.
That was a good one, though, too, for like 4 days. Yeah. It was like, I hope they find them. They only have 72 hours left.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But meanwhile, they
fucking thing imploded.
Dead.
So they
said they heard it, because the government apparently, this is what's crazy. They had to sort of admit that they have a top secret acoustic surveillance system. Like, why are you admitting that? Just because? Are you just admitting it just because you know that there was an implosion? Like, why would you admit that you have a top secret
Maybe
system?
James Cameron.
Now it's
out
not
of
top
them.
Secret. Now everybody fucking knows about it. Maybe James Cameron.
Remember?
Did out
I mean, well, he was the one was that said, "I knew it, the Navy heard it." You know, they lost comms at the same time they heard the audible bang. And
I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't have done it.
Look at that—a top secret military acoustic detection system. Not anymore.
Right.
Everybody knows now.
Fucking everybody knows. The Titanic guy told everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
How crazy is that? He went, three times as deep as
by himself. The kind he was with, you could pilot
single,
around.
Yeah, single
this
person.
One was like an elevator. Like, you had one button to go up.
What? That was it?
Yeah. And they were controlling it with a Logitech remote controller.
I had no desire.
And there was lawsuits. Like, there's a lot of whistleblowers that were saying that that hull is not withstood. It can't withstand that kind of depth.
Yeah, especially the new material. They said the carbon fiber. And they didn't even like the design. The guy said at least if it was woven, it might have worked. They said this was like in like almost like a spring. It was wound.
Oh, God.
The carbon fiber was.
Did you
fuck?
Did you not, back to the shark thing? Did you see out of Egypt that guy get beaten by the shark? That was a real life Jaws movie.
Horrible.
One point you see his feet up in the air.
Yep. Yep. Horrible.
It was, and in the background they're playing like Stand By Me or some shit.
It's yes.
And it's like, it is the most horrific thing. If I seen that before, I wouldn't have done the episode.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Dude, I looked down when we were in that water and I saw a fucking shark looking up at me.
I mean, saw that too, crazy. Man. I got the fuck out of there. Because I don't swim.
That.
Nah, dude. Fuck that. Now
you're
it got to the point now.
You're perpetuating the stereotype.
Whatever we do.
No,
this
I don't care. It's true.
There was some
brothers
people,
don't swim.
There were some people recently in Florida, or in Hawaii, rather, where the husband and the wife were snorkeling. And the husband, like, gets his head out of the water, and they're screaming, get out of the water, get out of the water. It's because his wife was getting eaten.
God.
There was a shark that was eating his wife while they're screaming at him to get out of the water.
Did he get out of
the tiger shark? Yeah, but they never found the wife. They ate her whole body.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that happened. My friend Duncan was in Hawaii, and that happened like the week before he was there. The week before, the week after, I forget which, but like real close, where so he was like, I was in that fucking water.
Hey, what do you hear about balls, dude? You can't swim, and you jumped off a fucking cliff into water. That's in Hawaii. That Hawaii brought it back to me.
Yeah.
Did you have life vest on?
No.
You can't because you have to.
Because like if you don't,
the impact.
Because the impact, like if you hit the water without that, it'll crush your chest.
Because we jumped off a cliff.
Well, so how the fuck did you get out?
Me and you jumped off a cliff.
Yeah. That was the episode that Dana didn't jump.
Bumped out.
Yeah.
Did he?
No. Dana ended up not jumping.
I know a guy who fucked his back up for life doing that. He landed bad. He landed bad, blew one of his discs completely apart. Oh, how far is this?
Oh, this is fun, man.
Oh, my God, dude.
This is fucking awesome, though. Come on, we have some nice memories.
How far was this? How far was this jump?
I don't know, but I'm in better shape now with my shirt off. If you want to see me take my shirt off now, I'll show you. God damn. Look at this.
There it goes.
Way, little chubby guy.
How many feet do you think that is?
I don't know.
That's pretty fucking high.
But.
Oh, my God.
Oof. Yeah, Dana was up there.
And you
Dana
did that
was up there until the sun went down.
No way.
Yeah.
He never did it.
I was torturing
all these other people did it, and he didn't do it. Anybody get hurt while you were there?
No, it was like little kids doing it.
Dana's pride got hurt. Hello.
Fuck that. Dana was like, fuck that.
And the best is
he was up there for 3 hours.
Really?
And we're in the truck. Now, first of all, he was breaking your balls before that.
Yeah.
So then we get off that. We're in the van on the way back. Dana's a little down in his dumps, and Dean's starting to be like, well, he took balls just to get up there. I'm like, boo this man! Fucking give it to him, Dean!
Jesus, look, that's so far.
He was up there a long time.
So 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Fuck that. Dana still didn't do it.
They cut some shit from the episode. I'm sitting there yelling. I go, Scott Coker would do it! Get out of here! Get
out of here,
pussy!
Imagine if he did. Holy shit.
He was up there till the fucking...
and he had to walk down the walk
of
shame.
He did the walk of shame.
Oh, my God.
You know?
That's hilarious.
But, just to give him a compliment so I don't get fired.
Yeah.
he did jump on a fucking ball.
Oh, no.
Really?
He rode a bull.
Why?
Why don't you guys call me first? Bull. I hosted Fear Factor.
I know.
I'll tell you what not to do. That's one to not do.
If you
want to
look at him riding a bull.
Much better to jump off that cliff than to get on the back of a bull.
That is so much more dangerous.
No, and it's a legit bull. It's not no bullshit.
Did he do that afterwards? So he felt bad?
No, he did the bull before.
That was before.
That's why. Maybe that's why he didn't jump in the water. Because
he realized how...
I'm rich.
He almost got...
He's like, I'm rich as fuck. Why am I doing this?
Watch this shit. Watch this
shit. Oh my God, this is Dana?
Yeah, we both did it. I landed on my
foot. No
look
way,
at this.
Dude.
Look at this.
Bro,
dude, this is a real bull.
So insane.
And this thing almost got him. Look at when he lands. Look.
Oh my God.
Dude, that could have landed on him.
So lucky. That's just luck.
Damn.
That's just dumb luck.
No, dude. That was not. Dude, Rory.
Fuck. That's so close. That could have crushed his hips, ruined his organs.
No. Dude, I wouldn't do this again.
Fuck
that. Was close.
Fuck that.
Yeah, no, I did it too. The fucking helmet couldn't fit me because I was chubby.
I remember when we did Fear Factor.
I wasn't there for that one.
We did Fear Factor once. It was one dude who was a bull rider. It wasn't a bull riding episode, but his shoulder, he said, he had eight operations. He showed me his shoulder. He's like, I can't hold on to anything with this. My arm will just pull right out of the socket. He just had the slices all over his arm. They just reconstructed him so many times.
Savages. This is just bucket list shit. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, fuck no,
hell
no.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, fuck that.
I didn't ride the bull. I did the clown, though.
Oh, yeah, you did the clown.
Oh, you were a clown? That's even scarier.
Yeah. I had to it almost hit me, man.
You.
It was like...
Oh, no.
The hoof almost hit me.
We do love that job.
I know.
It is a fun. It's a
Are you
fun
guys still
gig.
Doing risky shit like that?
Nah, the last time wasn't nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah,
they've been chilling out a
it's
lot.
It's not either. As risky, but.
Yeah, you have been fun.
Yeah, but we're still having fun.
Yeah. It's a great idea, though. What a great idea. You go to these small shows, you know, you guys show up, everybody's freaked out. Oh, my God, look who's here.
Yeah.
And then you get to do wild shit in that town.
It's such a good time, man.
It's a great
idea
for a
show. Hanging out with your buddies.
The worst was, like, Matt didn't even realize that we did it here in Austin a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was telling people it's my first time here. He goes, we shot the show here. I go,
oh, listen, I'm so happy you came out because Dean didn't think you'd come out.
I didn't think you'd make it.
Are you kidding me? Dude, thanks for having me.
You should do a podcast. You are so fucking good at this, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man, right?
I'm 100%.
Well, he's got
unfiltered. We do. We do UFC unfiltered.
Yeah, but like his own podcast. Your own, the Matt Serra show.
I should do a
lot of things. Matt Serra's take on life.
Yeah.
I do my video game. People are making a lot of money on Twitch, and I just do it for free. I could be making money with my VR.
Yeah, man.
Eventually. I'm just so...
the switch
I'm
never
so
turns
happy.
Off with this guy.
Well, you've got, so you got a nice balance.
I have such a good balance.
You're so good at this, though.
We have a good time, though. The secret to our success, I think, in everything we do, Dean Thomas, even when you do the show with me, I think if we're having fun, everybody's having fun.
Yeah, that's the secret of this podcast.
Just have fun.
Yeah, that's it.
All podcasts.
Yeah, really. It's like, you know.
If you're enjoying it, other people are enjoying it.
All I need is a fucking nail trimmer.
Yeah, just trim them nails. All right. John Rollo, tell everybody about your gym.
Oh, yep. We're back in Baltimore. It's called Ground Control, and it's groundcontrolbaltimore.com. And for my fight promotion is Shogun Fights. Thank you, brother, for letting
my
me
pleasure,
say
my
that.
Brother.
Oh, man.
Dean Thomas, when are you going to be doing commentary next to us?
You man,
100% should be doing that. 100% you should be doing
that. I don't
commentary.
Want to. I think you guys work too much. I like sitting behind you guys and just chiming in every so often.
He does great with that, though.
I just like sitting in and chiming in every so often.
I do love when you chime in, though. You always have such good points.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
My
but
pleasure.
I tell you what, though. Tell the people, watch Tough After Tough tomorrow night after Tough 31.
You got so many jobs, Dean Thomas.
Yeah, I do the post show. I do the post show for the Ultimate Fighter.
Is that on ESPN Plus?
Yes, on ESPN Plus. So it's called After Tough. I do
ESPN Plus is the shit. I fucking love it. There's so many fights.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sometimes I have to do some shit with my family and fucking set that aside.
Yeah, put ESPN Plus on. Yeah.
He's out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's I love it that it just streams around your phone.
Yeah.
It's fucking incredible.
I love ESPN Plus.
Especially going back to the John Rollo days when I first met you. You'd go over someone's house to watch it.
For real?
Yeah,
now
right.
It's on your fucking phone.
Yeah. When he beat George for the title, we had a house full of people. And when he dropped him, I was like this close to the TV. I'm yelling at it, finish him. Like I felt like I won the fight when that happened. I was so happy for him. It was awesome.
Man, this was like a reunion, man. Thanks
it was
for
awesome.
Having, thanks
My
for having
pleasure.
Me out,
thank
man.
You. Thanks
I got
for
really
coming.
Happy.
Thank you, guys. And Rollo, it was a last-minute addition. It was
yeah,
awesome.
Right?
Thank
got
you, guys.
I mean, I appreciate you even asking me on. This is like a bucket list thing. Thank so even God. Though we're boys, it's... It's amazing, and you know, I'm just happy for all your success.
Thank you, brother.
Me
Thank
too.
You. All right, guys, that's it. Wrap it up. Bye. Bye, everybody.